about this. You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Hot fun. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Cut the jibba-jabba.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gays and lesbians, transvestites and transsexuals, it's time for everyone's favorite radio program. The Westwood One Radio Network presents the Don and Mike Show. Starring grizzled radio veterans, the captain of the ship, Don Geronimo.
Hey, fans, how you doing?
And restaurateur deluxe, the man of several dozen voices, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, say, can you see, Jack? By the dawn's early light.
What's so proud?
With news someone can use and insightful comments from sexy, sexy Buzz Burbank.
Buzz, what is it with you and women?
I like them.
And everyone's favorite white power producer, the Aryan Simeon, Rob Spiewak. Plus, the man who's always asleep at the switch, Joe Ardinger.
Hey, hey, what happened? Wake up and go to sleep.
Yay! And a man who offers both technical and athletic support, Johnny Norman. So sit back, relax, and mentally and physically prepare yourself for the hilarity that is about to ensue. This is the Don and Mike Show!
That's high energy.
That is simply as homemade as they get.
I like that.
Like it a lot.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I enjoy them all.
And he loops a little Amos Moses here.
Hey, Jerry!
I did have to start with that today.
Jerry!
Thank you very much,
the loyal listener.
Tim Goodrich. That's Tim Goodrich's opening.
Made that thing at home.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, you're starting that up again.
Hello. Jerry.
Jerry. I can't think about it without
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Mike.
We appreciate it.
Yo, look out! Look out!
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
All right, this is Robert the Mailman.
Hi there.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right, we are starting today with Jerry Reed. Amos. Moses. Hey, Tom.
Call him Amos Moses.
You can suck this.
Oh, yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
The biggest, the meanest alligator
you have.
And just an afternoon.
And you can tell.
I have to smell.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Thursday. It is October 5th. 2006, and as the guy just said, you can call us from anywhere in America and Canada. One number, 24 lines. 877-365-3636. That's the phone number. I want to hear us on your computer. Go to our website, Don and Mike.
What?
Well, it's impossible to concentrate while this is on.
Yeah, this is a man of the man of the clock.
Call
him Amos.
Set out on him, Amos. Make it count, son. About 45 minutes, I need to get my door to dinner.
I'm sorry, I can't. I've lost.
The show on now. Is the show on?
Mike, what it is it's what I like to call the Jerry Reed effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, it's taken me over. Son. Let me tell you something, son.
Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Pellet had a big trap game back in the alley. And I kept rolling them sevens.
How are you guaranteed to lose all of your listeners in the first 5 minutes of your radio show?
What you do is play a Jerry Reed medley at the beginning of the show.
And then... No, because I'm going to go deep into my Jerry Reed collection.
Ah, even better. Do you mean there's another song besides?
Mike, of course there's another song. You mean that you don't know She Got the Gold Mine?
I got the shaft.
A deep cut.
I like that one. I like that one, baby.
It's an oddity.
I guess it was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl.
I played this a lot.
Well, did you really?
I played this, on country radio.
And I wouldn't if I'd have just knew how saying I do was going to screw up all of my life.
Now.
The first few years weren't all that bad.
Not a bad song.
I'll never forget the good time.
Oh, like the other ones aren't?
Well, they're all good. I like Jerry. I like Jerry.
Like they're not all classic.
Sounds so different. Everyone an individual.
Yeah. Rob, who's more talented, do you think?
What's that?
50 Cent or Jerry Reed?
Well, now me and Homer Jones.
I dare you to go around and whistle a 50 Cent song.
Back in the attic.
I know all these melodies.
Ah, the melodies. Rob loves
it. And in all them pots.
My luck was a good, I could do no wrong. I just kept
Jesus
on
Christ.
Rolling and controlling them bones.
Even he hates you.
When you hot, you hot. And I said, thanks a lot. When you hot, you hot.
Oh, the ladies are great.
When you hot, you hot.
Oh, the background singers,
yeah.
The flappers.
When you hot, you hot. La 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 la.
He's mentally retarded.
Yes, I do the harmony too.
I gotta stop that.
What?
Tomorrow, will you play Lord Mr. Ford?
Is that another Jerry
Reed
song?
Yes, it is.
Lord Mr. Ford.
Yes,
I think. No.
No. How about Eastbound and Down? And with that,
no.
And that's a Burt Reynolds movie.
No.
Yeah, well, he sang it for the movie.
No, that's it. We've gone to the Jerry Reed vein.
Thanks a lot!
The Jerry Reed vein?
Too many times. Listen, our website is donandmikewebsite.com. You can hear the show there on your internet, and you can email us your fan mail during the show. The email at donandmikewebsite.com.
Yep.
And what?
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 I'm playing with my microphone.
Why are you playing with it?
You're going to make a death joke if I tell you that it sounds weird to me today.
I was going
to
tell you.
Yeah.
I think your microphone sounds weird as well.
I agree. Did anybody do anything?
Nobody touched it.
I thought you were screwing with me.
I was just trying to, like, I thought it was...
I thought you were doing... You know how sometimes you do that thing you do, like, where you
sometimes
pretend
at the beginning of the show,
that something's going wrong?
Sometimes at the beginning of the show, what I will do is I will, like, you know, work back and forth and get up close. And what I was doing is I was finding myself yelling.
Let me give you some more
this
juice.
This is my normal...
Let me give you some juice.
Hello, 1, 2. Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah, well, that... It doesn't sound like it like kicks into like a really much louder gear all of a sudden, or what?
Did you take one of your pills?
No. No, it just sounds weird to me. So it sounds weird to you, too?
Yes. It sounds to me like you're not speaking with a lot of energy.
Yeah, but that's not true. I'm speaking at my
there
normal...
There was some more energy right
I'm
there.
I'm speaking at my normal level. That's the way I thought.
Yeah, but no, I agree. The microphone sounds screwy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we...
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Hello, 1, 2. Checking. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Check one, two.
I hope it wasn't Jerry.
Excuse me.
I hope it wasn't the Jerry Reed that
caused
that.
Do you think it was
that.
The Jerry Reed mojo that did the whole thing?
It could be. That's an awful way to start a radio show. I apologize. You know, and I didn't apologize for Harper Valley PCA.
That's true.
I didn't apologize for the gay song.
I don't know why you're apologizing
there you,
for
you know what?
That sounds better.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Was it something?
Yes.
Was it something on the something?
You know what it is?
They had lowered your gain for some reason.
Well, who did that?
Not as loud.
Who lowered my gain?
I don't know. It's not like any engineers hang out ever. Jeff.
You know what we need? We probably need a piece of plexiglass over that.
Well, in many radio stations.
Is that like turning the computer off, too, which they like to do?
They love
doing that.
So
the computer that takes 20 minutes to reboot, they turn that off every night like it's a light switch when they're leaving here.
But all the adjustments for the microphones are at knee level, and you can tap them with like a piece of wire or something.
I was going to say, I'm sure at some point I go, it's by where my workstation is where I stand.
Right.
So I wouldn't doubt it if I did it late in the show yesterday.
Okay.
I'll have engineering go ahead and do it.
Excuse me. Well, that's good. That's a relief, so now I don't have to yell. Yeah.
My apologies.
You can if you want.
Yeah. Did you think, and he thought it was one of my pills.
Low energy.
I didn't take
the
one
low energy pill.
Right. Only because yesterday when we were standing outside.
Yeah, I'm not telling you anything anymore. I'm not going to tell you when I'm having one of my moments. I'm not.
Why?
I was telling you
I didn't say it on the air. I didn't come in.
You did now.
Yeah, but it's
you're
past.
About to.
But it's past. It was yesterday. I didn't come in yesterday right away.
Right.
I came running and said, hey, Mike's having a panic attack.
I don't know. I told you yesterday, and now it's like spilled in today, and it's in today. I haven't taken a pill. I swear to God, that slur was not pill related.
You didn't take a quiet pill?
No, that was just. The only thing I took was an aspirin.
Mm. Well, that's
before the show. A therapeutic aspirin.
To clear.
For the numbness?
To clear and center yourself.
No, because I'm exercising again, and the sinuses were bothering me. And so I took a little aspirin before the show, because I've been on the elliptical 3 days this week.
Wow.
And,
well, there you go.
And I've been eating well again, and I'm
there you go.
I'm down 1 pound. From where I started with the new thing.
Thank
you very much.
Come on, yes.
3 days. But since, you know, I bought these suits that I'm wearing today, they're feeling a little tight, too. So I hurt myself in Vegas with the big eating-a-thon that I had out there. But now I feel really good. I feel actually physically good. I like exercising. I really do. It's good.
So you didn't take one of your exes?
Not yet. I got them, though. I always have them.
Or as you said yesterday.
I almost did before the show today because I have that same feeling that I was telling you about yesterday.
Or as you said yesterday, as we were standing outside, Mike said, I just took one of my X's. Uh-huh. Or are they Z's? it's Xanax.
Yeah, but I had just taken it when I talked to you.
It's Xanax. Yeah. And it's
not like
with an X.
And you know, it's not like I take those things and, well, you know, you guys have taken those type of things before. It's not like you take them and then 10 minutes later you're going,
no.
Hey, wow, man. But I did sleep like a baby last night. Slept very well.
In a diaper?
Like a baby in a diaper. In a full diaper.
This is a dull diaper.
It's always dangerous to throw it to the back room, but I'm curious what Mike's pills are valued at on the street.
Xanax?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to give you the milligrams because I don't know.
Joe?
Shocker, he's in the bathroom again.
You're kidding.
Oh, man.
What? Hey, did something touch him emotionally during the first break of today's show as well?
Is that like his standard bathroom break time?
Regular.
You know what it is? I bet he thinks that because we're
a good answer on radio, John. Incidentally, that works very well. You know,
I bet.
John gave me the hands up in the air.
Went, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I can't scream so you can hear me.
Okay. A pipe down there.
I'm sorry.
Pipe down there. I think
Quiet,
he thinks.
Joe
thinks that when we start talking sometimes, that we'll just keep talking and there's no need for him to even go to the phone.
Right. Well, we do normally do a lot of talking at the beginning of the show.
We do, but all the phones are ringing as well.
Well, don't we want rapt attention from everybody in the building?
Please.
Yes, come on. Hello, Don and Mike show. See, here's someone calling.
Yes.
Joe could be talking to this person now instead of, you know, tinkling or whatever he's doing.
Let's see what happens.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi there.
Hey, I want to suggest for Mike, he should try, like, regressive therapy to go back in time and find out all the traumas that have hurt you in all your lives.
You mean, like, past lives, like Shirley MacLaine?
Yeah, that Albert Brooks movie?
Exactly.
No, he's talking about, like, Freddy used to go to that crap.
Where you go and, like, you were
they tell you that you
a
were
Roman centurion in a past life or something like that?
Right. Yes.
Don't really believe in all of that.
I think that that's probably Foley's, one of his next lines. You know, that I had not only was I touched by a priest, and not only am I a homo, and not only was I molested, and not only am I a homo and sent this, but
I was raped by Vikings.
Yes.
Alcoholic Vikings.
By guys that look like that guy, maybe the dumbest mascot. In my humble opinion, in the NFL, that douchebag for the Vikings that rides his motorcycle out of the middle of the field, and he's got, like, the caveman, the Geico commercial caveman outfit, and he's got the thing with the big horns coming out.
I have told you this story before. I think I've told it on the air. I am so proud of the fact that in Yale Bowl in Connecticut, back in the day when the Giants were playing their home games there,
yeah,
we got tickets, and it was one of the worst ice storms in the history of Connecticut, and we pelted the Viking with ice balls, not snowballs. We pelted him with ice balls, and he was defending them with his shield because he carries around a shield.
And he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that thinks he has become somebody like. Do you remember the guy at the Denver Broncos games?
Like the Hoggettes?
No, no.
Oh,
yeah, but the barrel man from the Broncos
right.
is the best. Remember the old man that would be at all the old Broncos games with the orange barrel on? He allegedly yep. would have nothing on underneath.
Right.
We saw him one time at a Super Bowl, and he ran us an attitude like, talk to my agent.
Right.
I'm being booked for interviews. If you want to talk to me, you know, maybe you can. Please.
Yeah. I think that all started with the San Diego Chicken.
Yes.
Because the San Diego Chicken became a marketable, like money-making enterprise where he would be paid to go to other stadiums.
Here's my thing.
But he was a real mascot.
And also, he's anonymous. He's got the thing, like the Philly Fanatic, you know.
Yeah, that's a real mascot.
Right. The guy that's in the stupid costume
is just a dip-ass fan.
Right.
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 I mean, he's just a fan that said, hey, aren't I clever because I put myself in a barrel like some other people that we might know that do that, and then they assume that they are celebrities.
You can say the truth about the beloved Hoggettes.
Look, I'm nice to the Hoggettes whenever I see them at a golf tournament.
The Hoggettes here in D.C., just like everything with the Redskins, are nothing like they were 20 years ago in the heyday.
What happened is they split them all up. There used to be like 20 of them together. Now there's three here, four.
Well, they used to be real guys that started as a friendship, and they hung out in the same section, and then they became this big deal where
they went to
hospitals and stuff, you know.
And then the next thing is...
I mean, all power to them. I'm sure they've done some good work.
No, but then the next thing is they're doing, like, commercials for pizza, and then they're doing a commercial for a car, and...
They're not as good as the Funky Four.
Who are the Funky Four? Yeah.
There are these four dancers that come out at the beginning of the third or the fourth quarter of a Redskins game. Yeah, they play that funky music, White Boy. And,
are they old?
No, these are guys. These are like breakdancers. Mike, this is the modern entertainment that you get at today's NFL game.
Jesus. Where does Chief Z fit
but at least,
on this pecking order?
Chief Z, I'm sorry to say. Also, in my humble opinion, loser.
He's a guy.
Real life.
That showed up like with Indian outfit.
And same for that moron in Dallas who got the crap beaten out of him in Philly that time by the fans.
Yeah.
The guy that dresses up in the Cowboys.
They have a name for him?
Your mascot.
I mean, the guy that dresses up as the cowboy. And they'd show him, like, years ago, they were a real big deal. Like, you'd see the opening of the Redskins-Dallas game, and you'd see them kind of like, he'd be pointing a bow and arrow at the cowboy guy. Like, and they were both brothers, and the brother would be taking the six-shooters out.
I'm going to get you with my bow and arrow. I'm going to get you with my big shotgun.
And then the guy at FedEx is a guy in a Redskins-colored Elvis jumpsuit. And sometimes you get...
Yeah, you know, and here's your mascot. Yeah. You know, here's a mascot. Have you seen the Patriots mascot?
Yeah,
is he the guy that's in the ye olde colonial outfit?
No.
I'm with the head.
Yeah, just with the
giant head.
All he's got is the big, gigantic head.
The Patriot head.
That's a
mascot. But he's a real mascot.
That's
you know,
a mascot.
Because he's paid by the team. I mean, or he's not paid by the team, but he's part of the... He's supposed to be on the field.
And I'm sure that the Vikings have a deal with this idiot with the motorcycle where he's now kind of part of the crew.
Yeah.
Here's another guy that pisses me off.
Yeah.
The guy in Oakland... The guy that's in the end zone that has the spikes coming out of his the shoulder pads.
He doesn't count.
And
he's
guy,
not a real mascot.
Right. I've seen that guy doing a commercial for the NFL Network.
Not right. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Right at all. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
The world has gone backwards.
Jesus.
What the hell's going on here?
What about Prince Willie?
Hey, Joe, I hope you had a hell of a piss.
Prince Willie was a fine mascot.
I'm just quoting Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right.
And also sending my best wishes to Joe and his bladder. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Kevin from Sacramento. I just wanted to say, hey, I love the way that you guys have gone back to your old style. And I was one of the originals way back in the day. And I just want to say thanks.
Right.
When did we go back to our old style?
About 10 minutes ago, Mike.
Very good.
He's a very astute listener.
I approve also.
We flipped the switch 10 minutes ago.
It officially started with the second Jerry Reed record.
Jerry.
What is...
What? I'm sorry, Rob.
Joe handed me a note. What is Whistling Ray? Is that the name of the cowboy?
Is that the cowboy mascot?
He's another one with a big head.
Joe, is that the cowboy mascot?
Yes.
Thank you. And the 49ers also have a guy like a guy who's mining for gold, who's another one of the big heads.
Yeah, that's
Steve
the...
Young?
No, his name is Glory Hole.
Oh, yeah. He's good, too.
He's the gayest mascot.
Isn't that the Niner? Is that the 49er?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like an old Yosemite Sam type.
He carries around a pickaxe and stuff
like
that. Yeah,
right. And like when they score, he's like, dadgummit!
Yep. I like the human caricatures.
Yes.
Like the Patriot. I do like the one that you mentioned, the Patriot. And then there's another one. I think the Milwaukee Brewers have one.
I think
they might have the brewmaster. Whoever they get. Isn't there somebody that slides into a mug of beer?
Oh, yeah, when they hit a home run.
They hit a home run.
A home run.
That's good stuff.
Now, I hear at the Nationals game, like during the seventh inning, they have big-headed president's race.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like the when they have the hot dog races
the
in Milwaukee.
Race.
Same thing.
Well, nobody, you know, really, when they stop being the cannons, nobody will ever replace, in my opinion, the greatest mascot in the history of minor league baseball, Prince Willie.
Oh, that's...
Prince Willie was fantastic.
You only say that because you slept with him.
I slept with him, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and nobody could make you spin your forehead around on the end of a baseball bat and then dizzily walk down the line than Prince Willie.
Who was there that night? Who took you to the emergency room and said, how are we going to explain a Louisville slugger?
Yeah, I was
stuck there.
And I wanted to keep my baseball pants on, too. Why'd they have to cut them off?
Oh, Willie.
Why did they have to cut
the
him
only
off?
Way.
Willie just pushed the bat right through the fabric.
Right.
Oh, Willie. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Willie.
That was fun.
Hello. Are ye there?
Speak it to us.
Yes, yeah, you. Talking to me. No. Everybody else listening, not you.
Hey, human caricature.
Oh, God.
Yes?
What? John Madden. And you miss one of the fans.
Hold on, stop a second.
Human caricature, John Madden.
Right.
Explain, please. I like going inside.
John Madden has turned into a caricature of himself.
You find John Madden to be a bit cartoonish?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hello.
I hate to do this.
Awesome.
I hate this. I'm not saving this caller, but and I'm not agreeing. But I do believe that there are certain human beings. You could make a list of human beings that are in the media that would be
but that doesn't
human
count.
Caricatures. People that
Andy
really
Rooney.
Look like that.
Right.
Larry King
right.
Would
but,
fall into that category.
But that's not the discussion we were having.
Dennis
right.
Rodman.
No. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
Wrong.
Terribly wrong.
Okay, well, what about the Madden one?
We're not talking about people who look like caricatures. We were talking about mascots.
Actual caricatures.
I know. But there's also a mascot / fan for the Jets. His name's like,
come on, everybody, repeat with me. J-E-T. Look at me, I'm a horse's ass on TV. You know, it's been a million years before they got one, but they finally did have one. The Red Sox have one.
Hello.
Wally. Oh, Wally.
Oh, was it the mascot?
Wally's just like a Muppet, but Wally is named Wally for the Green Monster.
Oh, for the Green Wall.
The announcers have a great, great time with Wally because if the game gets boring, they have Wally, this tiny little Wally, sitting in an Adirondack chair, and Jerry Remy, who's the color guy, and I think the absolute best baseball color man in the business, will talk about what Wally has done that particular evening and what their plans are. And the reason, here's what makes it funny. What makes it funny is he does it completely seriously. He said, what time are you getting back to the hotel? Well, Wally wants a light dinner tonight. And what they'll do is, like, from the center field camera, they'll have a tight shot of Wally where they'll just show him sitting there. And it's, I think, the best use of a mascot. But I think they actually have him walk around Fenway Park, too, which I don't approve of. I don't like mascots.
He looks like a wall?
He looks like...
Does he look like the Domino's brownie?
He looks like Elmo. Oh. He looks like a green version of Elmo with a Red Sox uniform.
And I'm sorry, Domino's. Love your pizza. Good client of the show.
Yeah.
I buy Domino's pizza.
Good for you.
I would not approve of an advertising campaign where you got someone walking up to people's doors and leaving them looking like human skid marks.
Yeah, not good.
You know, leaving them looking like my underpants.
Right. It's bad.
The whole family standing right there. They've all just got run over by a
bad
big
thing.
Brown projectile of some sort.
Kind of like our TV, our animated TV commercial that we wanted to use.
Yeah, the one with Scatter the Monkey.
But we couldn't use it.
Is this guy still there?
Are you on the line?
We're going to miss him. We lost him.
Did you mention your favorite announcer, play-by-play announcer for the NFL, was doing the Redskins game last Sunday?
I
thought of that. Every time I see that guy, I think of you.
I almost called you guys on Sunday. Dick Enberg cannot pronounce the word line. It's line.
Line.
And once it is pointed out to you, it is like something that's going to drive you nuts and make you want to scratch the inside of your eyeball.
Drives you nuts, but since you hit me to it, I enjoy hearing it.
First down on the 20-yard line.
Line.
As you can see, that of course our yellow line is not official. His range starts at the red line.
But Randy Cross, who's his broadcast partner, does not seem to be the Redskin hater that he once was. He seems to have mellowed a little bit. He was actually saying nice things about the Redskins during the game through his enormous piano key teeth.
Yuck. Line. He's a human character.
How old is Dick Enberg now?
Enberg?
He's been
old.
Doing it since...
75?
And
would he be 75? Good for him.
And remember, Dick Enberg was the husband at the time... At one point... Remember we did the contest about 10 years ago?
Sacramento.
We'll come to your house.
Right.
Tell us why.
Right.
Remember the guy that had like two sets of drums in his house?
Yes.
We went out there and we broadcasted from his house.
And wasn't that Dick Enberg's son?
Yes, it was, as it turns out, because his mom had been married to Dick Enberg, and his mom was an executive producer on the Star Trek that I liked, the one with Picard.
And they were divorced, right?
Yes, they were, and I remember that...
I wish that guy would call us, because I'd like to take a trip down memory lane with him. Because we really did go to his house. He went. Right. He won the do the show from your house contest.
And I think the deciding factor, because just I'm such a greedy bastard, was the fact to get a real Star Trek uniform.
Right.
Yeah. And we kind of really wanted to go to California.
Well, he was also very
show.
He was also a very cool guy.
Oh,
he was the son of Dick Enberg. He had a lot going for him.
And he set up dual drum sets for us out there, and he had a nice spread of food and drinks. And before you start even calling with it. There's no way the company would spring for that today.
Yeah, that may have been the Sacramento trip where our car was almost run off the road on the way back from the airport when we arrived. There was one trip where
every trip to Sacramento.
We were always greeted, but this there was some guy that seriously was stalking and chasing us. It wasn't that one. All right. Wasn't there one where we actually went into another hotel and walked out the back and told the car to meet us around back?
Yep. Well, that
because the guy was really and he found us again.
Well, that wasn't like a crazy road rage guy. That was one of our listeners.
Just a friendly guy. Just being funny, but the limo driver almost like pulled the car into a ditch because the guy was like...
It was like being the Beatles.
Right, yeah, it was.
It really was. It was like being in the movie Help, where we were running around downtown Sacramento. There was about 15 idiots that were chasing us, like running red lights and everything.
It was fun until they pissed us off.
Following the car.
Then we really tried to lose them. And remember how mad we got when we really couldn't lose them?
Yeah. We were yelling.
Because, the people that do that are obviously going to find you.
Yeah. So we're yelling at the guy that's driving the car, like, left, left, left. He's like, there's no turn on left. Left. Mike and I are in the back of this car screaming at this guy through downtown Sacramento. They're still following us.
And then it ended. I really do believe it ended where we ended up saying, F it. And we went to our real hotel,
right.
And the guy was there, and that's when the confrontation occurred, which was really not a confrontation, because the guy was grinning and just wanted to say hi.
That was fun.
Yeah, you remember? Yeah, we really, we didn't think it was fun at the time.
I know.
It was interesting.
We have some very rabid fans of the show out in Sacramento. And
it's amazing. It's a phenomenon. I can't really explain it.
The reason we don't want to go back there real soon.
Help me out.
Like people that follow us all the way to our hotels.
Very weird.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
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 You are on the air.
Yeah, Don, yesterday you guys were talking about the St. Pete paper, Buzz. It's the St. Petersburg Times.
This is Mr. 20 Hours Ago. Let's say hi, everyone, to our new friend, Mr. 20 Hours Ago.
How are you yesterday?
I'm a little late, but for today I got the Purdue Boilermakers. That's another mascot that's pretty good.
You saved yourself. You're right. He's a college mascot. He's got the big oversized head. He does.
He's the Boilermaker.
You barely saved yourself.
What is a Boilermaker?
I tell you what, a Boilermaker
is. Well, I know it's a drink, but I mean, that's not why the team is.
Boilermaker is the seat of the first car that I ever had.
Really?
Not that comfortable. I'd say that thing was like driving a car with a bicycle seat.
Do you mean a Boilermaker?
Yeah, a Boilermaker. Right, it would make boils on my ass.
No, hold on.
Yanni knows what a Boilermaker is. Yanni.
It's a beer.
Depth charge. It's a what?
No, we just discussed that. I'm saying I know it's a drink. Is the team named after a beer and a shot, which is what a Boilermaker is? Or is that...
I believe it has something to do with the railroads, maybe, or... Because I think the guys out there, like, with ye old pick shovel, like, when they were building the railroads.
Right. And a Boilermaker is...
Is it an engine or a steam engine or something like that?
Maybe they made the boilers that powered the steam engine.
Hey,
this is a dumb show.
Why doesn't somebody Google that so 20 minutes from now... Every idiot in the world doesn't call us.
A Boilermaker is a person employed to make and repair boilers or other heavy metal items.
And do they say anything about the team?
No, not in the dictionary,
obviously
no.
Obviously a tough job.
Second definition, whiskey with a beer as a chaser.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Buzz.
And not a depth charge, as is commonly. Some people refer to a Boilermaker as depth charge, where you actually put the whiskey inside the beer. You don't do that with a Boilermaker. Trust me, I have one before the show.
You would know that, Mike.
I would.
People do that. They do the depth charge thing. What's that called?
That's a depth charge.
Depth charge.
Ah, very clever.
Not a Boilermaker.
Good name.
I don't drink.
There's a car bomb, too. That's a Guinness. That's Guinness and Bailey's. That's a very nice drink. I'd like one right now.
Coming up.
Would you?
And that's a shot of Bailey's inside the Guinness. Tastes like chocolate, though.
Yeah. You can do it like a black and tan, too.
You can probably do it that way, too, yeah. Man, I'm really thirsty. Can we just drink the rest of the show now?
Sure we can.
You get me on this subject and I go crazy.
Take one of your pills.
Thank you for that call that actually brought up the mascot.
I'm thirsty.
Oh, listen. One of these idiot callers mentioned John Madden. Our friend Frank Caliendo is going to be on the David Letterman show tonight.
Oh, good.
Without giving away the gag... although if you look in the program guide as to who the guests are tonight on the show, it says they're going to have an author on named John Madden, or a director. There is a real movie director named John Madden.
Right.
So anyway, Frank is going to be on Letterman's show
tonight.
Will
he be in makeup, do you think?
Yeah.
Currently getting his makeup done.
He is. He's going to call us from the dressing room as he's getting set to go on the air.
That's great.
So that'll happen sometime during the show today.
So he'll exclusively be doing his Madden for Letterman tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Because Letterman really, like everybody, loves Frank Caliendo's John Madden. So this will be a nice treat. The second time that we've had someone call us from the dressing room, back when we were friends with Lisa Remedy.
Right.
She called us before she went on the show, and she was
a long time ago, a
bundle of nerves, and we were asking her a bunch of questions and not getting any real answers. And
right.
We'll find out from Frank. I bet he's going to be uptight. Rob spoke to him today, and is he nervous, uptight like he always is?
Of course. Nah. And he said, can you please shut that door? And then the door shuts, and he says, Ludacris is making a lot of noise.
All right. He's still doing sticks, so he's not that nervous.
Yeah, but he is an uptight guy when it comes to something like this. He'll do great. He always does, but
right.
He does have that bit of nerve to him.
Well, we'll give him a good pep talk today. We'll find out what's going on inside Letterman's show.
He's doing his signature. He's doing Madden. He'll have no problem.
Right. So good news for Frank. We'll have him on before they tape the Letterman show at 5:30 East Coast time, so we'll hear from him sometime before that. Let me give you a very quick update. About the lady in the dry cleaners.
That had her water break?
2 days ago. Her first name is Peggy. I will not give her last name. She gave birth to a baby boy, 8 pounds, 1 ounce.
Hey, how'd you get all that information?
How do you know that? Found out, Mike. It's going to be in the local newspaper.
Oh, really? Kind of a story.
Woman drives herself to hospital. Made it there.
Are you going
to
be in the story?
No. Well, I was just somebody who watched this.
That's part of the deal, too.
They quote witnesses.
Nationally known celebrity.
No, please. It's going to be like in the newspaper that that you get at the Safeway, the free newspaper.
I'll send over a picture, just in case.
No need. No need, but...
So did the newspaper call you or something like that?
No, the dry cleaners lady called.
Oh, okay, good.
And she said that
How'd
they...
How'd that go?
They, well...
Yeah,
really?
Something like this.
It was... No, she did good.
She did?
She did better on the telephone than she's done when I'm there in person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's because when you're in person, she's faking it.
Yeah, because she speaks perfect English.
She's faking it.
Perfect English. Like they all do, Mike.
Right.
Like they all do when they talk about us and they think that we... The thing is, they know... Here's the thing.
They
know that we are too lazy to learn their language.
Well, right.
And I'm speaking not only about Asians. I love that. Orientals.
Uh-huh.
Chinamen, all of them. Mexican men. You know, German men. Frenchmen. All the different languages, that all the people that live in America, almost 300 million people now. And
now you got my brain going with that. We call them Frenchmen.
There are so many people that could speak languages. I know there was a gag, wasn't it, on Seinfeld, that, what's her name, Elaine would go in to get her nails done or something, and she was positive they were talking about her.
Right.
And indeed they were. Indeed, James Brown, they were.
You know, I hate to say this because she's very sweet, but the lady that helps me out with my house, Maria, we had a discussion today where, for all I know, because it lasted probably about 6 minutes, for all I know, I gave her permission to, you know, walk into my house, pour kerosene on the floor, and light it on fire.
I don't know.
I got through one third of this conversation, and the rest of my answers, I swear to God, were, okay. Okay.
That is every conversation I have with my housekeeper, Alicia.
I was at the car. I was getting into the car, and she is saying, Mr. Mike, and I have that same wonderful moniker that you have, and she said, you got the back, and I said, Maria, what was that? You got the back. I said, what are you? She goes, the back. And for seriously 2.5 minutes, it took for me to realize that she was talking about black trash bag where the girls had gone through their toys over the weekend, and I said to Maria she could have them. She was just double checking. So we cleared that. We cleared the deck on that one where she said, bag. I said, you mean the black bag? And then
what you got to do is have the unspoken system that I have, which still screws up incidentally. When I run out of something, what they do is the gypsies leave behind the container on the counter.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem.
It's a beautiful system.
Here's the problem. I think I ran out of Snuggle. Fabric softener. Comes in a, I don't know, like...
You know,
a,
now I know why you always smell, why your clothes always smell so good.
Comes like in a yellow or an orangey type container.
Bear on it. Snuggle gets the cigar smell out.
Anyway, so that thing was sitting out. Over the weekend, went to the store, bought a jumbo size.
Good for you.
A
Snuggle?
A different brand.
Oh.
Whatever it was. Freshie or Downy or whatever.
Don't buy off brand.
No, Mike, it was a name brand.
Oh, it was a name brand.
You know me. I'm Mr. Name Brand. Screw Kirkland. Okay? I am name brand all the way, baby.
Right. Even with nuts?
Planters, Mike.
Kirkland nuts are solid.
Planters.
You can't go wrong with Kirkland nuts.
Are you going to argue with Mr. Peanut?
I am. I really am on that particular count. It's one of the few
I say
things.
That on behalf of Mr. Peanut, his monocle, his stick, and most of all, his nuts.
That's way... Well, first of all, I think you're being way harsh, but I think you really need to try the Kirkland brand nuts.
Mike, I'm proud to tell you, and as I say to everyone that knows me, whoever wants anything from me, in 2 years, I'll be a generic guy.
Right.
But for right now, if I want to go to the store and I have a choice of buying, and I had this discussion with my girlfriend when she had the thrill of going grocery shopping with me.
Ah, yeah.
She said,
2 years, you'll be a generic guy.
She said, why do you want to buy Ocean Spray cranberry juice? She said, look, you can get whatever the brand is.
Right.
Two for $5. And you're buying one for $3.50.
Sure.
I said, in 2 years, I'm going to be the two for $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I can afford to buy name brand cranberry sauce.
That's true.
So I'm a name brand guy. Anyway, the point with the gypsies is that they were befuddled because the thing was not exactly the same product that they had asked for.
I do the same thing, only in a different way. Like 2 years, I'll be playing nickel slots. That's the way I look at it.
That's the way.
Still be going then.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
be going by bus.
Oh, and gosh, I certainly do not want to embarrass my girlfriend, but if she's listening right now, hang in there, sweetie. Hang in there. Here's the problem. When you are a talented, creative person, as I believe my girlfriend is, the thing that I'm finding out about her, you know, I don't know nothing about dating.
Right.
I mean, it was Frida for 25 years, mm-hmm. and, you know, I went through the ups and downs with Frida, but it's different than it is with Janet. Janet, well, I don't want to get into detail, but she got canned from her job, and rather unceremoniously, and, you know, it was a reminder to me that the real world is in many ways like the radio world,
right? Yeah.
You know, where they set you up, and they set you up, and they set you up, and then, you know, it's like, show up, and oh, incidentally, bring your key.
Yeah, and it's usually when you're doing real well.
Yes, mm-hmm. She will have no problem. She's a good earner. She's, mm-hmm. She's really good at her job. But this had been something that she had been worried about for a while.
Right.
And we were talking about it yesterday, and she had this meeting, and then last night she called, and I was on the phone with other people about other stuff, and when I finally got done with the other stuff, I called her up, and it was about 10 o'clock. And, you know, for me, that's late on a weeknight. And,
right.
And I said, how you doing? And she said, well, this is what happened. It was kind of the way that we knew it was going to happen. And she started to just tell me every single detail about what had happened, about how they said this, but I had notes about this, and they said this, and but they did this, but I did this, and they did this, but I said this, and they did, and you know, and they're evil spirits. There are just evil spirits in there, and it was that I said, Janet, stop it, please, just please stop. I'm trying to be as delicate as I can be. I care about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. And the thing is, I've not, I don't think, reacted the way that a modern boyfriend should react. Because my attitude with Janet has not been like, oh, you poor baby, that's so bad. You know, what I have said to her is, you know, you're a businesswoman. You know, you've been in this business for a long time. They kick your ass, you get up, kick their ass back. You know, you go across the street. Mm-hmm. Not that she's not doing that.
Right.
She is. She's starting that today. But last night it was very much like, oh, you know, this is no great surprise. You know this is going to happen.
Right.
Come on. Keep your chin up. You know, and
good.
Then I just finally said that. I can't talk about this anymore.
Do you think you look at firing differently than many people due to the fact that I believe you may be at least in the top 10 of Guinness Book of World Records
for getting fired.
Seriously, knowing exactly how to handle it when you do.
And that is why I think I mishandled this thing with Janet. I mean, not that I was a jerk to her by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just, I didn't want to be a sounding board because, I mean, we talked about it then this morning, and I asked her, I said, was I a jerk last night? She said, no, you were fine. It's just, to me, it's like matter of fact. It's like you get fired, BFD.
Life goes on.
Go get your new job. You know what I mean? Right. You know, you're good. Go do it.
I think the level of trauma for that type of activity, I mean, when you get fired, the level of trauma is directly proportional to how many times it's happened. And I think that, you know, if it's never happened to you, now, has it happened to her before?
Well, I believe so.
Well, then you know, she's probably, you get just tougher about it, you know how to handle it.
I think she'd been at this job for a while. And
yeah.
I don't want to get into it because I don't want to embarrass her or anything. But, you know, if you are listening, you know, keep your chin up. And, you know, don't worry. You'll be my girlfriend as long as you find another job.
As long as you find gainful employment. Is there a timetable on that?
What's today?
She gets some kind of nice severance package, hopefully.
Was today the 5th?
Yeah.
Well, you know, 7 working days.
Business.
You know.
It's the way you used to do it.
Seven business days.
Quite often you would, within 24 hours. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. I would be Mr. Johnny. I'll go anywhere. I'll work. See, now I know. And again, that's why my frame of reference is different than Janet's, because this is when I was single. I would get fired in one city. I'd pick up the phone and start calling around, and you know, I wouldn't care where I went.
Right, didn't matter.
I mean, I made some ridiculous freaking moves. I mean, who has a chance?
I got fired after I quit one time. You've had that happen too, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, they always want to get the last word in.
I hate that. That to me, you know, if you're a boss, don't fire somebody after they quit. It's just not right.
One time, I got fired one time before I even started. But actually, it was my own fault. I deserved to be fired.
Wow.
I got offered a job in Miami by Joel Denver at 96X.
Okay.
Big radio station down there. This poor MF-er, and this is before, you know, internet, cell phone.
Internet,
anything.
Right.
Yeah, this is all done, like, on regular telephones. There are no contracts, no faxes, no nothing. It's just, he's got my word. I'm going to come down there in 2 weeks. I'm going to put my stuff in a U-Haul. I'm going to drive down to Miami. He's going to pay me $150 a week, and I'm going to do the 6 to 10 show. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting ready to do this. Meanwhile, he's running promos on the air. You know, saying, hey, we got a new disc jockey coming. Wait, just wait. Coming up 96X. Yeah, baby. Well, I had gotten fired in Indianapolis and called the guy in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, of course, I got the job for you. You start in 2 weeks. Put yourself in the U-Haul. Let's make it happen.
Right.
I said, I can make it faster. I can be there in a week. Just get my crap in and I can go. Meanwhile, Gary Bezerkowitz calls me from Providence.
Pro FM?
Yes, and offers me $30 a week more.
Ah.
Now, you know, I'm looking at the big picture,
right,
and I'm going, that's $120 a month.
Right.
So I call the guy down in Florida. As I am driving down to Florida, and I am close enough that I can pick up 96X on my radio.
Wow.
It's now known as Power 96 or whatever, but the same frequency, same pretty much format. And I swear to Christ, I hear one of the ads, right? So I stop at a truck stop or whatever, Denny's, Sambo's, whatever it was at the time, pull over and
Right.
I call him and I say, hey, I got a problem. I said, boy, I'm hearing the promos. They sound great. He said, where are you? I cannot wait for you to get here. I said, this is Joel Denver.
Right.
You know who he is.
Yeah, heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, I screwed him over bad. I said, and I was a pussy. I danced around it. I said, you know, Joel, I got offered a job in Providence, like, for $30 a week more. And he's like, phew, who goes to Providence when they go to Miami? Come on, get out of here.
But not, I'll match it?
No. And then I said, well, I'm really thinking about taking the job in Providence. And he said, what's the shift? And I said, it's a daytime show, which to me was a big deal, too.
Right.
You know, right. Working in the afternoon rather than working at night. Right. And he said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You're telling me that you're considering taking a job for $30 a week more in Providence over Miami while I'm running ads for you and you're calling me while you're coming here? And I said, well, yeah, yeah. And he said, F you. F you, you're fired.
Wow. Well, obviously had no intention of paying more money and no intention of maybe switching the shift.
I mean, I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version because he said to me stuff like, he said, I took you at your word. I hired you. You needed a job. You know, you came with a reference from so-and-so. Yeah, I'm running promos. You hear the promos. You're killing me by doing this. You can't go to Providence. And I said, well, yes, I can go to Providence.
He hadn't come up with the extra $30.
No, he couldn't. And I got, don't worry, I got my comeuppance.
Yeah.
Because what happens is I had not taken the job in Providence yet. This was like a Wednesday night, middle of the week. I'm on my way to Florida. So,
I think I might know how this ends.
I think you do know how this
ends. Very, very dangerous.
I think you do know how this ends.
Right.
The very next day, I wake up early in the morning, 9 a.m., go to the payphone, call Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Berkowitz, please, the program director.
A very nice man, as we've established.
One of my hugest enemies. This guy's one of the worst program directors ever.
Legendary, difficult dude.
He says, hey, they called me by my real name even back then. Michael. Good morning, Michael. And I said, hey, how are you? Listen, I was thinking about everything. He said, I got a pretty interesting call from Joel Denver this morning down in Miami. He said, you know, you and I don't have a deal. We talked in circles, and you wouldn't give me an answer. I said, well, great news. I told him last night, I'm coming. And he said, fantastic. See you in 2 days. You'll be at the Howard Johnson, whatever. I get up there. I get my first paycheck. It's exactly the same pay.
Oh!
It's exactly the same pay.
Because he mentioned the $30 more.
I go to Berkowitz. and I say, hey, when you told me on the phone that you're going to hire me, you said it was 180 a week, not 150 a week. He said, ah, but you didn't really tell me if you were going to do it or not, and you were so close to taking the job down in Miami that you were going to leave me hanging in the lurch. And this is where then when Berkowitz was just a king ass and started lecturing me, saying, you know, there's somewhat of a bond. I swear to Christ, I remember this as clear as a bell. There's a bond in radio like there is with doctors. You don't do things to hurt people in the family of radio. Joel is a dear friend. You left him in the lurch. I'm happy to pick up the pieces. This is going to hurt my reputation with Joel. This is going to hurt your reputation in the industry. I think what's really only fair is, at least for the first year, you're going to make $150 a week.
Oh, God, what a ding.
Yeah, it's family.
What a ding.
Then,
you know, because what he was saying was, he said...
He still hired you, though.
Yeah.
So he screwed Joel and he screwed you at the same time.
And he said to me...
And he knew you didn't have a chance of getting back down to Miami, so he could. He had you over a barrel.
Because he said... Because let's face it, you just got canned in Indianapolis. Now the word's going to be, you got canned before you even started down in Miami. You know, people are going to have a hard time. Come on. And we do it like, I'm doing this for you.
Uh-huh.
You've got to stay at one radio station at least a year.
Right.
Stay here a year, and you'll go to $180. I promise you that. Stay here a year. I was like, what am I going to do?
Did you end up staying there a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got you.
Goddamn right.
He got you.
I get my 180.
Are you crazy? Oh, man, he was the one, wasn't he? Of all of them, he was the one.
He's the biggest douchebag ever. He's the guy that hid outside in the bushes to watch disc jockeys leaving the show 10 minutes early and fire them.
Oh, my God.
Then when I went back to Indianapolis after I worked in Providence for about a year and a half, and... He was so pissed, because I didn't have a contract. I just went in one day and I said, I'm quitting in 2 weeks. And he said, you can't quit. You can't hurt me at the beginning of the spring ratings book. I said, you've done dick for me for the last year and a half. I'm working 2 weeks. And then at that point he said, you're not working any. You're fired. Get out of here right now.
Yeah, they like to do that. Yeah.
So
the nasty ones do. It's just business when they do it, though.
So I said, great. See you later. I went from Providence to Indianapolis, about a one-day drive. I remember pulling up to the radio station in Indianapolis. Bill Garcia is the program director. He's waiting in the parking lot, and he says, I'm just gotten off the phone with Gary Berkowitz. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Now, I have a question for you. When you would leave these places, how did you... Where were the bridges? And did you bring kerosene with you? Did you bring gasoline with you when you were doing...
This is why I can relate to Janet.
Thank you!
This is why I can relate to Janet without getting deeply into her situation.
Right.
You know, somebody backs you into a corner.
Yeah.
No matter what business you're in. You know, at some point you just got to say, you know, F you.
Sure, because you got to realize you're the person that's the talent in this situation. You're going to be exploited, and that especially in those days.
So what Berkowitz did was he calls up, first off, I've told this before, so pardon me, but I'm just worked up on Gary Berkowitz. What a master F job this guy did on me. First thing he did, and I swear to God this is true. First thing he did, I was struggling with my finances. Shock. Struggling.
He was struggling.
He called. I had a limited amount of charge cards. I had like an American Express card and a Sears card and a gas card. He called all three companies to tell them that he had just fired me and that he thought that they should know that I was a bad credit risk because I was blowing town. Then he called Bill Garcia, the guy that hired me in Indianapolis, and said, I just think you should know that there are creditors in Providence who are looking for this guy. Now, when I arrive in Indianapolis, I pull up in my Opel. That's what I'm driving, an Opel, because I was really happening. And there's Bill Garcia waiting for me in the parking lot. I never met the guy.
Right.
Hired me over the phone, right? So I figure out it's him. He comes over, he says, hey, I just got off the phone with Gary Berkowitz. I'm like, okay, what's the problem? He said, you're going to have to come in and talk to the general manager. I'm like, why? He said, well, because Gary brought up some questions about your character and brought up some stuff about finances and said the creditors are looking for you. He said, you know, I'm on your side, but you can't blindside me with this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I get
the fraternity of program directors. And it was, in those days, a pretty close-knit group, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of networking between these guys. They got together quite often.
The coven.
So I'll see the
to coven. Very good.
To Bill Garcia's credit, what happened is I got there in front of the general manager, and I told the general manager the truth. I said, you know, yeah, listen, I'm kind of an F-up with money, but I've done nothing illegal. No one's chasing me. I've got like a $400 bill at Sears. I got like a $100 bill on my gas card or whatever. I said, Gary Berkowitz is doing this. I said, he did this when I went to Miami. I said, I swear to God, this dude, I swear to God, he's nuts. I swear he's nuts. I swear, I'm going to stay at this station for a year. You have my word on it. We shook hands.
How long did you stay?
3 months. Well, the problem is this.
What?
Bill Garcia got fired.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And he got a job in Detroit.
Oh, deal's okay. So that doesn't count.
So right. Then he calls me up and he says, hey, you want to come to Detroit? I said, I just got here. And he says, well, yeah, how would you like to make $300 a week?
Bingo, see ya.
So it was like, then that was one of the cases I go into. Big Ken Cocker, who was the program director. Big Ken Cocker. I walked into Big Ken's office and I said, hey, I got to quit. Garcia's offered me a job. And he said, you've done your last shift at WNDE. Ooh, okay. How will the city live without my presence?
Yeah, everybody took it personally.
After 3 months. So, if you're still listening to this, Janet in particular, hang in there, sweetie. It'll be okay. You know, just...
And you got to put it into that category if everything works out for the best.
Yeah, right? just lowball the stuff about evil spirits. That's the only thing you said that sounded a little...
That there were evil spirits at where she worked?
At the place she worked.
That evil spirits took over?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Well, I believe...
Might be the stress of the moment.
I believe it is simply the level of hatred that she has.
You know, evil spirits. Well, it is Halloween time, too.
For the management there. Mm-hmm. And I can certainly relate to that. Yes. So, mm-hmm. Gosh, I wasn't the most comforting boyfriend last night, although she said today I was fine.
I think you were fine. Right. Well, you know, she should realize that evil spirits lurk in every manager's office.
That's right.
I'm sure I'm overreacting to this. Anyway... So, la-la.
It'll all be fine.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, I know she will. I know she will. Because you know what's going on really inside my head.
I know what's going on.
You know what's going on.
I know exactly what's going on.
You know what's going on. Yeah. Like, you know, okay. You know, I like you fine, and you're nice and everything, but, you know, you can bring some stuff over for one night a week, but that's, you know, right now that's just about it.
I think she's a go-getter.
I know that. She'll be fine. She is. She has not indicated in any way that she wants to come pack up and move in with me because this has happened.
Right.
Certainly go live with her mom first. Or her brother.
Baby step. But that's she's nowhere near that
no,
stage.
No. No.
You were right.
I said, besides. I said, let's talk last night. I said, besides, come on. You own your car. I said, you know what that is? That's a pile of money right there. You outright own that car.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah. I said, yeah. I said,
yeah.
I can fall back on that. I said, and,
sure.
I said, what's the mortgage on that place you own? I said, keep rise, even with the 3% drop in the real estate. But you'd make a killing there.
Do fine.
Like everything, I'm just pointing in every possible direction.
All the positives. Live in her car. All the positives that'll keep her where, you know, she is.
Anyway, she's a good chick.
That's an endorsement.
Silver tongue.
I think she feels better now.
I was going to say she's a sweet girl, but that makes her sound like Dakota Fanning.
Right.
She's a
gal.
It's
an old antiquated term, but I think it works.
She's a sweet gal, so we'll hash it out tonight. We'll see what happens tonight.
She'll land on her feet.
I know she will. I just wish it was like radio and maybe you're absolutely right. That's why I'm not as, and I really don't think I was as understanding as I should have been. Because to me, it's like, you got fired there. So what?
You know,
there's another Walmart right down the street. How tough is it to stand there and say, hello, how are you? Uh-huh.
As you know, in the last couple of years, things have kind of changed for me. And now I think I really am in a position to say, how can I help? Really, I mean, if she, you know, just needs to make ends meet. Wants to pick up a few tables.
Okay.
I'd be happy to.
You know what that is?
What's that?
That's funny. That's really funny.
That's good.
And have you ever noticed when someone thinks...
Can she cook?
Can she?
Can she?
Pays okay. Even better. All right. Yeah.
Have you ever noticed when someone says, that's funny, a lot of times they really mean, that's not funny.
Sorry.
I know, we got to break.
Right. It's a bad joke. It's a brutal layoff.
I tell you what, if you have Carla, break her in.
Okay, no problem at all.
I just called your girlfriend Carla.
Carler
from Indiana and Canada. When we come back, instead of Friday for our NFL Today chat, it's a Thursday this week.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Chuck Casserly, who is on the CBS show with JB every week. Okay?
Charlie Casserly.
So we'll talk to him and we'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Nice. Hey, hold on a second.
Hey, well,
that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing with Charlie Casserly on the phone.
Didn't do.
We're missing our music. Music.
Cut number 9, please.
Number nine.
Yeah, let me see.
Here she comes.
Just people.
And
the Don and Mike Show.
There we go.
Simply put, the only way to hear Don Geronimo and Michael Mara is to listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Oh, I see.
Just people.
No, I don't really see. Charlie Casserly is on the phone here. He is, I guess his title now is he's general manager of the NFL Today on CBS. There we go. There's that music. And basically, he sits there every week with our friend JB,
right?
And tells all of the inside stuff that he knows about what's happening in the league.
Because he is still pretty plugged into the inner workings of the front offices of the NFL.
Yeah, I think one time we had Charlie on the show. We asked him to tell us how he got into the league. Remember, he would do anything for George Allen.
Yeah.
And he was an unpaid intern when he started out.
And this is back when he was actually, managing a team, right? When he was he San Diego? Was that where he was?
Charlie, that was here, right? Charlie.
Hey, we're here. How you doing?
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Hi there. Here is Charlie Casserly. You started with the Redskins as your first NFL team, right?
That's correct, yes.
And climbed up the ranks, later went on and started to build the Houston Texans franchise. Now you're on CBS. I thought you were going to get a job in the NFL front office when they had all of the people moving, when they had Tagliabue leaving and everything. Charlie, how close were you to working in the front office?
Well, we talked to him about the job. Things just didn't work out. So we took the job with CBS, and I'd been offered this job when I resigned in May, and we've been talking to CBS. So took this, and it's going great. Having fun with it.
You are very informative and very wired into the league. A brief aside, and I've said this before, maybe I said that earlier in today's show. I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago when JFK Radio here in D.C. got the rights to the Redskins, they had me do the pregame show. The Washington Post hated the idea. And then one guy, Leonard Shapiro, would just write endlessly that I sucked and I was a hack and what am I doing there?
Right.
And Charlie Casserly, a very nice man to me, went out of his way. Certainly, he was the general manager of the Washington Redskins back when they were good. And he certainly didn't have to take the time out to call and call me just to say anything you need. You ask me.
Wow.
You know, I'm a hack DJ. Allegedly doing sports radio, doing the Redskins, the pregame show. It was very nice. It was very touching. And it shows how down to earth you are, Charlie. And I appreciate it. And I think that I saw some of those same qualities come out. If you could just briefly tell us what it was like when you were working in Houston, when Reggie Bush could have been the number one pick. Houston signed Mario Williams, and they sent you out as the guy to say that it was the right decision to make. What was that like? Because you ended up leaving the Texans, like, was it days after that?
What was the last thing you said there?
Okay, you're still at Houston.
Yeah.
Not knowing if you're going to stay or if you're going to go. Houston could have taken Reggie Bush, number one. They didn't. They took the other guy, Mario Williams. And you were the face of the Texans for 3 or 4 days. You were the guy on every TV show explaining why this guy was selected over Reggie Bush. And then 3 days later, you leave the Houston Texans. Is that because you're a stand-up guy? I mean, that you went out there and you pretty much took the bullet for the franchise?
Well, number one, that was my job. The way I looked at it, my job was, you know, whoever we're going to draft, I'm going to stand up and tell people what we're doing and why we're doing it. That was number one. Number two, there was a lot of pressure to do other things there. There was a lot of pressure to take Vince Young. Vince Young played high school football in Houston, Texas. Right. Obviously, he leads the University of Texas to a national championship. There's a 250,000 Texas alumni living in the area of Houston. So, to the point that with 3 full-page ads the week of the draft to take Vince Young by people.
Wow.
I know.
Boy, I thought Washington was pretty crazy for football. That's taking it to the next level, isn't it, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. We had one of the sponsors get on radio, calls up the local sports talk shows and says that if the Texans don't take Vince Young, people should cancel their season tickets.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So, so that's it. So then, you know, we weren't going to take Vince Young. We were going to keep David Carsey. And then the next logical thing is you're going to take Reggie Bush. Well, we didn't think that was the best move for the franchise. We needed to get a defensive end, an impact player at defensive end. We were going to the 4-3 defense. And we were more into, you know, we're trying to build a football team here. And that's a key component we have to have. Not that we didn't think Bush was a good player. We just needed to get the defensive end and thought there's more options to get the running back. Maybe in a trade in that draft, which didn't materialize, or in future years, see?
Right.
So what I was aware of was the Donovan McNabb situation with Ricky Williams in Philadelphia. When the fans wanted Philadelphia to take Ricky Williams, the Eagles take Donovan McNabb, and this guy's getting booed on draft day. Well, we weren't going to have that. And that's why I went out there and I said, hey, we're taking this guy. Here's why we're taking him. And this one's on me. And if you want to boo somebody, go boo me. Boo the young man.
You're a good man, Charlie.
And that's what we did.
You're a good man. Now that you're removed from the Houston situation, although you still have your fingerprints all over that team, you know, like you got to be happy with the progress of David Carr this year. Is he still the number one ranked quarterback, I mean, stats-wise?
Right, he's the number one ranked quarterback in the league. And when we took him, I thought he'd be a good quarterback in the league. I never questioned it. We weren't just good enough around. We weren't good enough around him. He was put in some bad situations in the beginning of his career. But I think that with Gary Kubiak coming in, the team will improve. We had drafted a young tackle this year, Charles Spencer, who was going to be the left tackle of the future. Unfortunately, the guy broke his leg this year for him. But I have no question. To my mind, Carr will be a good quarterback in the league, and is a good quarterback in the league. He just needs more support around him.
I guess what I wanted to ask you was, how much do you, Dan, you're so polite you won't answer this, how much do you really believe, because I saw the line that you were saying on TV, the Houston Texans play in a division with Peyton Manning, and unless you can put pressure on Peyton Manning, you can never beat the Colts, and you got to play the Colts twice a year. And that's why we took the defensive lineman over Reggie Bush. On one hand, that makes sense. Please don't take offense. On the other hand, I hear that. It sounds to me like BS.
When I watched
you on TV saying that the Texans took Mario, because you play in the division with Peyton Manning and you got to beat the Colts twice a year if you're ever going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
There was one side of my brain that said, okay, that's logical, that makes sense.
And there was another side of your brain that said, no way.
That said, that's BS.
Right.
How
do you respond to that, Charlie?
Well,
thank you, Mark.
I understand. But, no, that was the principle. I mean, if you're going to have a championship football team, you have to have at least one person on your defensive line that the other team has to account for, a top player, whether he's a tackle or an end. So we didn't have that component. We were in the 34 defense. You have to- completely different type defensive lineman than a 34 defense. You basically have three guys that are all big sluggers that aren't really, you know, pass rushers. You're lucky if you ever find one to do that. So we needed to get a guy who could play defensive end in the 4-3, a big physical guy that could play the run and rush the passer. We just didn't have anybody like that in our roster. So we had to get that part. And, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things you have to do is you have to pressure Peyton Manning. One guy can't do it, though. It's a team. So they can block one guy.
You know,
but you're gonna have, but we're building a team. And I think, you know, Bush certainly is a good player, but, you know, if we didn't take a defensive end, we're still going to have to go find the defensive end later. You wanted to take both players. You couldn't take both players. So we had to make a decision. And
you know, I think of the NFL with the Hogs in their day. We had the massive offensive lines, and the Giants when they won their Super Bowl. You know, you have these huge offensive lines, and the Bears did the same thing. Has that changed in the league now where that is not – it's not the way it used to be where you could actually win a Super Bowl by having just this you know, this solid conservative running game and a huge offensive line, and that would get you all the way. The league has changed a lot since then.
Well, I think you have to be able to throw the ball. I think you had to be able to throw the ball back then, but you're not going to overpower people on a consistent basis because the defensive players have gotten just as big, and they're faster. So in the end, you still have to have balance. What's different in the league now than, you know, 15 years ago is the balance in the league from team to team. You have a lot more teams that are closer than you did back then.
All right, two things real quick and we'll let you go. If you were king of the NFL, commissioner, but if you were king of the NFL, what punishment would you give Haynesworth? What would you toss down? Is five games enough?
I thought that was a fair punishment because there are no real rules in this thing, but I think in perspective what you're looking at is the longest punishment before was two games. So this is, you know, more than double that. This is basically a third of the season. And that is quite a punishment.
All right,
in perspective.
And what happens, Charlie, when teams start teetering and going off the cliff this year and you start getting phone calls? Do you still have the itch? Would you ever
you want to jump back in?
Go back and start over and fix another team?
Well, you know, I'm working for CBS. And
I know you are now, but theoretically, I mean,
Rob, you don't need to applaud that.
There are no theories here. I'm working for CBS.
Okay,
we'll go through the season. We'll see where we are then.
Okay, sir. Have you noticed how many times JB uses the word indeed?
You want me to mention that to him?
Yes.
Charlie, if you mention that to him, I mean, we do every time he comes on the show. You say something to him and you do it with a straight face, and you say it didn't come from us, you'll really be able to wig him out. I guarantee it.
All right, we'll do that.
And Charlie, in your humble opinion right now, who is the best team in the NFL?
Well, remember, now this changes every week.
I know. So this week, right now, after four games, who's the best team?
I would say the Bears because they seem to be the most complete team in the sense that their defense is solid both against the run and the pass. The Bears offensively have thrown the ball very well, which has been a surprise to some people, and they started to run the ball a little bit better. But again, we're only four games into the season. You ask who's the best team right now, but this thing is evolving and changing, and you can just look at the Redskins. I mean, they beat up a pretty good, not beat them up. I mean, they won the game, but their offense beat up that Jacksonville defense, which is pretty good. So these things will change as we go through the rest of the season.
Are you like me, Charlie? Do you hold a grudge?
I mean,
with the Redskins. I mean,
No,
of course you don't. You're Charlie Castle. You're a nice guy. You don't.
He takes the high ground. He's not like this, Chuck. He takes the high ground.
General managers
in the NFL take the high ground. We're the bottom feeders.
Well, here's a question. Maybe you were asked this, and if you were, I apologize. When the Redskins played the Texans 2 weeks ago, who did you root for?
I rooted for CBS.
Spoken like a man that's done a hell of a lot of negotiations.
All right, well,
we're a Redskin, so, you know, we got that part in us, too. Right. But, you know, you have to be neutral, but we got strong feelings for everybody over there.
And just for all the Redskins fans listening right now, you know, you were there, and they did win that game. Nobody expected them to win against Jacksonville. What do you think of their chances for the season?
Well, I think the other thing, you know, we're living in Washington now, so if you're in Washington, who are you going to root for, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
How do you like their chances, Charlie?
I like him very much. I think that they do need to get Springs back, and I don't know when he's going to come back. But that's kind of their Achilles heel right now, because without him, when they blitz, they're taking chances, and I don't know if they can hold up on that other corner. That's been a struggle for them. But offensively, I think last week was you saw a lot of good things last week from them offensively, and I think that they're going to be there at the end of the year, fight for a spot in December. The guy that can't lose is Portis. I think it showed in the first two games. If Portis can play the rest of the season, they're going to have a chance in every game they're in.
I tell you what, it's not what you want to hear, but I get aroused when you talk serious football. I feel like I'm a real man when you're talking about the Texans running the
three. He's good at it. He's good at it.
And this is the scheme.
He's Charlie Casserly. Come on. What are you talking about?
All right, Charlie. Well, I got to go take a quick
shower. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks for being on the show.
All right, then.
All right.
Glad to be with you now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
You still get funny with him.
Quite a dance.
You still get funny with him. You've interviewed everybody. I've watched you. We've interviewed everybody. He gets to you a little bit.
He's a genuine guy. I met him.
He's a real guy.
You're still in the office at Redskins Park when he's on the phone. Yeah, you say, because he's got that kind of, GM thing going. Yeah.
Well,
right?
You don't know how cool it was to be at Redskins Park. And at the time, the two guys that were running the team, North Turner and Charlie Casserly,
couldn't have been nicer to you.
Mr. Misfit, Mr. Skidmark, I would walk past his office. He'd be on the phone, and he'd be like, Doc, come in.
That's
right. And I would just, I'd sit down on the couch, he's on the phone.
He's a big deal.
Funny, he'd go, so, how are you? What did you think about the game last week?
Right.
How are you enjoying doing the broadcast?
Pretty cool.
It's been my experience. You shouldn't pay attention to the gentleman in the Washington Post. I mean, he would really say
that's
that
nice.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Very
great.
Nice guy.
And he roots for CBS.
He roots for CBS.
We're a team. CBS.
You know, in a weird way, that answer he gave us, I'd say he's a lock to be in some front office before next year.
And trust me, when the Houston Texans took that defensive lineman and they sent him out, that's like sending the guy out that you know is going to be the human shield.
Right.
That at that point, Charlie knew he was out of that gig in Texas, that they're going to move somebody else in. And he could have said to them, like most of us would, hey, F you.
What is the backstory on that? Do you think he wanted to take Reggie Bush? I mean, who could conceivably be a franchise player for the next decade?
I think that no one would argue that that's maybe the dumbest number one pick in the last. Well, a lot of number one picks have really sucked, but when you have the chance to pick Reggie Bush.
And behind the scenes, is it that he was against that probably?
He's got a brain. I got to think so.
Yeah, because he left shortly thereafter.
Yeah, right. So they must have had a fight. Maybe he even thought they should have had Vince Young. I don't know, but it was just. They had the three guys, and they took the one guy that sucks ass, and then they put Charlie Casserly on TV every day to say, hey, we did it because when you have to play Peyton Manning three times a year, you really need a strong presence. And then, like, 2 days later, it's like, the Houston Texans have severed ties with Charlie Casserly.
Wow.
Moving on to greener pastures.
Well, that tells me it could have been either way. It could have been that really was his decision, and then they let him go because of that decision or something else.
I think it was that owner. I think it was that owner of that team.
So take a defensive end. That just doesn't sound like an owner's move to me.
What? He saved himself some money.
Yeah, that's true.
That sounds like
that's true.
I think Casserly just wanted to get on CBS.
Next time we talk to Nancy, we ought to ask him about that, what he thinks about that.
Oh, he's probably up the ass of that guy.
I don't think it was the owner's move.
You know him. He's giving a prostate exam.
I root for CBS every weekend, Dawn.
Jim Nance with the Houston Texans.
And I believe, I'm just guessing here, that Charlie Casserly is a New Englander. That's just a guess. Wild guess based on that accent.
Hey, and the bye week, for all of us fantasy geeks, these bye weeks are killers.
Tell me about it.
They are freaking. Well, you know what? You're favored by the CBS Sports Line to guru to beat me this week.
Incidentally, hey, John, is Travis Butler Edlin expecting me to come up with the guilt for all that those transactions he's making in our fantasy league?
You know what,
you are the owner.
Mike,
it
is. Every time you pick someone off.
I think right now I owe John about $500 for the moves. That, right. Travis is like setting the world on fire.
It is $5 every time you drop somebody or pick somebody up.
Yeah, I think I saw today on the update that my team is making all the moves.
Well, all I know is that this week, it's a killer week that some really good teams are off. And I've got to play some really, really crappy El Crapo players this week.
Travis is picking up players. I don't know the names of.
Fortunately, LaDainian is back this week.
Ah, so that's for your team, right?
Oh, so that's you being cocky against me?
Sure, why not?
Go ahead. How many games you won this year?
I've won half of my games.
Well, you might be able to have a really big game coming off your loss to me.
Ah, hold on. Let me turn his microphone off. Do you know that...
Thanks for that again, by the way. I said this to Mike when I came in on Monday. I said that was the only thing in a perfect weekend that ruined it. With your one-point defense. Tightens up the turf.
If it means anything to you.
And Rob's the originator of Click and Win.
Yeah.
If it means anything to you, during some of my many conversations over the weekend with Carrie,
right,
about the Big Daddy thing,
right. Yeah.
At one point she said to me, when Rob was at the hospital, she said, should I call him and ask him about his fantasy team? And I said, don't bother him with that. He's got plenty of other stuff on his mind. She said, you know, he gets so mad when his team loses. She said, and I say to him all the time.
I wouldn't figure that.
Yeah, now hold on a second. There's more. She said, he's really into it. He gets really mad. And I say to him, you never win. Why do you think you're going to win? And every year he says, this is the year he's going to win. Right?
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
You're into it.
Isn't it great to have a woman behind you?
That's good. All
sometimes
right.
That's fuel. The enthusiasm sometimes has fuel behind it.
Fuel
of hops and barley.
Fuel, green bottle fuel.
This is the year.
I'm going
to win. All I can do is give pizza.
See, who knew he cared about it? Now, Buzz,
yeah.
You know, kindly old Buzz.
Yeah.
I know Buzz wants to win.
Of course.
But Buzz doesn't even watch football. Like,
right.
A couple of Sundays ago, I called, whenever I have a TV issue, an audio, a video, a audio
right.
issue,
mm-hmm.
I call kindly old Buzz.
Right.
And it was something to do with DirecTV and satellite and
right.
tree lines and stuff like that. And I said,
nudity.
I said, Buzz, you're probably not watching whatever I was watching, like the Cowboys Titans or whatever.
Right.
You're probably not watching that channel. He says, I'm painting a room.
Yeah,
and I said, it's Sunday at 2:00.
Right.
There's like 11 games on.
Exactly.
I said, you've got guys going into games. I'll look at the computer later.
Yeah. Well, he's got that buddy. He's got a ghostwriter too.
Yeah. But he wants to win. But it's not a backbreaker for Buzz.
No, my watching it is not going to affect the outcome.
If he loses it,
and I watch my games like I used to now. I'm more into the NFL this year, but I'm into it not like you are. I'm into it like I used to be, which is I have my team, and that's what I care about. I watch Big Blue. That's about
but
it.
But
I really
knew?
Do. I really do watch, and I do, even though CBS Sportsline says not to. I click refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I want those points. And then I want to lose by
refresh.
One.
Oh, refresh means they put the points on the board.
During the game?
Yeah.
You don't have to click refresh.
Right.
It says not to.
It updates every 60 seconds.
Yeah, but
you can't wait that
sometimes
long.
It's better to just click refresh. It makes me feel like I'm doing something.
He feels that if he hits the refresh button, he's going to get more points than if he doesn't.
I just keep clicking.
It's not going to make any difference.
Feverishly.
You know, it bothers you. It really bothers you. You're competitive at that.
Yeah, I am.
Good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's fun. And I'm losing less than I used to.
That is really a good thing.
Isn't it, though?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Makes last week a little sweeter for you, doesn't it?
And I asked Travis the other day.
Travis, go make trades.
I gave Travis my email address, and he won't email me.
No.
No, he won't. He'll just make, like, 17 transactions.
Call over to Panera. You might find him there.
Yeah. I'll give you a loaf of bread, Travis, if you slow down on spending that $5 a transaction. Jesus Christ.
Okay, Daddy Warbucks. Excuse me. $5 a transaction.
But it right. sounds like a good week to win the
prize. Well, no, I mean, this was a, I think maybe a $15 week this week.
Because all that money goes into the pot.
I saw one other person. I think maybe you made a deal, right? You made, maybe you didn't.
I did one.
No, you did one.
I had to pick
it was me. It's like Americans, 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 and then one other transaction.
No, I did as well. Yeah.
As long as it turns into a win, I'll be fine with it.
Buzz?
I had three transactions recently as well. I had a $15 week, I believe, last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much do I owe you, John? Do you know?
That would be $15.
That's it? No more?
No, I take that back. 20, because there was one from week four.
One more.
All right. I didn't do it. Rob did. John did. I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
Somebody else did it.
That'll be $20.
I'm boycotting that this week because of your stones.
Right.
Thank you.
Rocky.
Your stones.
As soon as your stones are out, I'm going to do it again.
Oh, hey. Before we go to break, what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Buzz's birthday.
There you go.
I have completed half.
Hey, good for you.
And that's how significant. I have completed half of the shopping for Buzz.
That's significant.
Purchase card or will you make
right
one?
Now I could come in tomorrow and please Buzz greatly, but I wouldn't please you guys.
I'm sure.
Does that give you an idea of where I am?
Then you're just down to the good stuff.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay.
The on-air portion of his gift.
Off to the pleasure chest.
Thank you.
Should be fun.
We got to hit this break right now so we won't hit something later.
Dude. Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show. Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Hot fun. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, Red Hot Rock, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Listening to the radio today, I heard a radio contest here in L.A., but it doesn't matter where you are. All radio contests sound exactly the same. You're lucky caller number 7.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Are you serious?
I'm serious. You just won $1,000. What's your favorite radio station?
This one. Whatever the hell it is.
Those people have no shame or humility. There's no rule that says you have to love the station you won on. If I won a contest, I'd be completely honest. You just won $1,000. What's your favorite radio station?
Well, I jump around a lot. I like the Spanish one. And this one's pretty good. What station is this anyway? I just had it on Seek.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's true.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? Cut the jibber jabber.
Shut up!
Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's see what's happening here. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Radio gods, what's going on? I am the guy who did the Scatter the Monkey entry for the YouTube contest.
Oh, that was a great one.
Boy,
great one.
Really, we were torn between the Batman one and yours. If yours didn't have a monkey throwing feces... You probably could have gotten it on regular TV.
And you know, it's funny. I didn't get to hear that because I didn't hear the whole show Monday because of the Jewish holiday. Hi, Rob.
Rob is telling us to cut the call now.
I actually heard from the point where you already narrowed it down to 2, so I just figured I didn't make it. But
no.
Today I heard that he couldn't use me because of the feces, so I was calling to say... I just appreciate you giving us the opportunity.
How many times have you heard that before, sir? And you just couldn't use it because of the feces.
Because of those pesky feces.
But I've been listening to you guys.
Was this a collect call?
So.
Because he's a Jew?
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I'm not drawing any conclusions.
Let him go.
I just like to, do some accounting.
There he goes.
Anyway, that was a good... That was a really good entry, and if not for the feces...
I mean, really, how'd you do it? I mean, do you do a lot of animation? Is that your line of work?
Yeah, I'm an animator in the D.C. area, and I just did it at home, off hours. I've never contributed to the show one bit, and I've always listened. Since I was about 9 years old, so I decided to, that's the way maybe I could contribute, but...
Well, you did capture the spirit of the show. Even though we can't use it, we sure love the one you did.
And it's still up on YouTube, everybody, so you should still go see it, the one with Scatter the Monkey throwing his feces. Right?
And ironically, you came in number 2.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
That's Rob.
Quiet.
But if you ever need any animation for anything on your website, anything funny that you're just throwing around, don't hesitate to call me.
No, I like our website just the way it is. Both thank you for the call. Both Mike and I are in agreement that as long as our website looks like it came out in 1990, we're happy because then we're only 16 years behind the curve.
And that, for us, is doing pretty well, don't you think?
Was there a website in 1990?
Probably not.
Was there? Sure, there was an internet in 90. Yeah, like,
no, not 90.
Wasn't there like CompuServe in...
There was chat rooms. You could get online and like chat in rooms. I don't know if there was a net.
Were there websites in 90? I don't think so.
Hmm.
Why am I thinking 1992?
You'd have to ask Alvin Gore.
It seems to me, I remember, you know, I remember stuff from places that I lived, houses that we lived in, that we lived in Gaithersburg, and it's since 85, since I was working with you. It was our second house, so it had to be close to 1990. We had CompuServe.
CompuServe was the first big one.
Phone line? Is that how it
hooked up? Who knows? Free to hook it up. Who knows how it was hooked
up?
It was just slow as hell.
Right.
And I was fascinated by the fact, you know, like, I remember saying to Frida, one of my great observations, this will never catch on because you must be able to read and write to use this tool,
right?
And people in America are too stupid to read and write that the internet will never catch on.
The my memory of it was not. I didn't say it wouldn't catch on. I just realized it was so complex to me. The idea when you started hearing the, because what they used to call it, the World Wide Web, and I'm like, what is this? And it will remember the people that knew what they were talking about.
Is it a web?
Exactly. And then they would say, this is going to revolutionize the way we do everything. And that is what I thought was kind of a lofty claim that they were saying, this will change the way the world is. And I'm like, all right, you know, I mean, look, that's like saying, cell phones, that's one thing. But this is going to change the way, and look what it's done. I mean, it is. Nobody lives the same way.
But even though we have all this stuff now, seriously, who wants to watch the Gilmore Girls on their telephone?
I agree with that.
I don't.
I agree with that because screen is too small.
I love all things television. I would love, in theory, I love nothing better than the thought that even if I never watched it, I'd be able to have a TV. Do you know on the car that I just got rid of, the car that had the bad memories because of the bicyclist that ran into me, one of the things that they commented on was that the DVD player had never been used and that the plastic was still
on the screen.
Now, the car had 32,000 miles. I had the car for over three and a half years.
That's what I call clean.
And, not clean. It was simply, it was an option I had to have.
Right.
It was like, I got to have a DVD player.
Right.
And then I realized, how am I ever going to watch a DVD? I'm always driving.
Right.
And on the occasion that...
DVD for the back, right?
Right. Yeah. On the occasion that someone else wanted to drive and said, would you want to see a movie? I would always say, no, we get there faster when I drive.
Boy, I'm amazed that you never popped one in when the grandkids were in town.
Yeah. You know what they had? They came with their own little thing, so I figured...
Their little portable units?
Why get their little grubby hands all over my pristine, never-been-used, factory-installed waste of money? They saw me coming. They probably still are laughing about the last car they sold me.
Do you have one in the new one that you have?
No.
You don't
do
have
not.
One?
Uh-huh. All right, do not. I do not. Although, I think the navigation system plays DVDs, but you got to be sitting.
Well, you know, I think the next innovation, which is probably already out there, wireless cable TV.
There is
satellite. I mean, it's the same as satellite. Yeah. No, but I mean, like, if you're on for example, we used to go up to New York on the train all the time. We bring our DVDs and watch them. I'd like to have, like, one of those little machines that you sit there and over the air, you get your cable channels, like your DirecTV.
Right.
That, they don't have that yet, do they?
No, they don't.
You can't do that.
Very soon, I think.
Too many tunnels, though, right? You get satellite.
Airplanes, what is it? JetBlue has the satellite? Are we sounding as old as we sound?
We're stupid, aren't we?
We are. Are we sounding dumb or old or both?
Yes. Hello.
You only sound old if you say you'd like to look at cable TV.
I want to look at the cable.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, howdy.
Hey, I wanted to comment. I've seen on the last 2 weeks on a new show called Brothers and Sisters. Unfortunately, my wife makes me watch it, but it's pretty sissy. But I saw on the first week they said asshat, and on the second week they called their gay brother a gay.
And I just wondered, I wonder if these people are listening to Don and Mike.
Of course they are. Course. We're influencing all of them.
Is that show about black people?
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
Do you think that's quality programming? Oh, yes.
I think you're an ass.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I didn't even follow what was going on there.
No.
He Hello. Didn't like me. That
Hello.
Was it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, yo, you're on the air. Hello.
How's it going, fellas?
Yo.
How you doing, fellas?
I'm speaking to you as a black man. Yo.
I had a question to ask you, Don, but I just fully stopped.
Hold on, let me just stop this.
I can't hear him, and I'm deaf.
I believe this could be your finger guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not the finger guy.
Oh, okay.
Totally not the finger guy.
Really?
Yes.
What exactly can we do for you today?
How many necks can a redneck read if a redneck read redneck?
No, see, you can't be doing that stuff, or we're going to have to get you. We've already got your phone number. So what town does your mom live in, or are you going to be permanently banned from calling the show?
She lives in Psychoville.
Okay, no, she don't live in Psychoville.
I didn't even get a chance to say what up.
Okay, Don, I remember what I wanted to tell you.
Oh. What's
Don, I remember.
Yes, what's that?
I remember.
I am calling from Negro Bar, California.
What?
From where?
Look it up on the internet. Negro Bar, California.
Buzz, did you look up Negro Bar, California?
Google.
I'm all over it.
I've never
heard. It would be Negrobar, California.
That's right.
Is it one word or is it two words? Rob's Dream.
Two words.
Rob's look Dream, like Archie Bunker's place.
I would hate that.
Google it.
Negro Bar.
Negro Bar, California.
Near Wholesome?
Yes.
Or there's a campground there, the Negro Bar Campground. Yeah, it's in Folsom, California.
Or is it some type of energy bar?
There's a Negro Bar State Park. I would venture to say that we are definitely in the land of mispronouncing that name. It is Negro Bar.
Yeah, and it's Spanish.
Bar.
What does bar mean
Negro
in Spanish?
Bar. Okay, what's that?
What does bar mean in Spanish?
I'm not sure, but,
Is it one word or two, Buzz?
Two words.
Two words.
I think
words.
Of names like Escobar,
right.
and that and such.
Roseanne
that's
bar.
One word, though. What's that?
Escobar, one word.
Is the park
Negro
two words?
Negro bar, as you pronounce it.
Open bar.
It's two words?
Two words.
Negro bar.
Yeah, each guy.
How many necks can a redneck read if a redneck read redneck?
Oh, would you stop him with that, please? The only reason you're still on the phone is that you've amused us with your city of origin.
Methinks that the name of the park is perhaps Spanish in origin.
Yeah.
The Indians used to have it a long time ago.
The Indians had it?
Yes.
Your dog.
Does anybody remember that white guy who used to play with the San Antonio Spurs? Vinny Del Negro.
Yes.
It was, yes. Or maybe it was Del Negro, but they called him Del Negro.
Sounds like a DJ name.
I was trying to get in when you guys were talking about Rent a Negro, and I couldn't get in to tell you guys it was actually a place called Negro Bar.
Okay, gotcha. Well, your message has been received.
And thank you so much for the limerick.
Who he?
Or the riddle, or whatever it was. There it goes.
Right.
The tongue twister. Thank you, Rob, the tongue twister.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on
the
air.
Yes.
Mike, how you doing?
Listen, I'm fine. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Don, you too. There is a gadget that lets you watch your cable anywhere you want as long as you have internet.
Is it called?
I have it, and I can watch my NFL ticket anywhere I want.
Is it called the power antenna?
No, it's called the swing box.
Oh, I've seen ads for that thing.
Buzz
sure.
Has it.
Wait, you have it, the swing box.
It's sling box.
Oh,
I used to have one of those. Mama never slept at night.
Well, that's a squeeze box.
Oh, all right. I'm terribly sorry. Once again, demonstrating my advanced age. Bar is bar.
I know what it is. It's that movie that we were talking about with Billy Bob Thornton. Sling box.
That's what exactly what it is. Right.
French fried potatoes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I wanted to let you guys know you can get satellite TV in a car.
Well, now everyone's selling it.
I've seen ads for this. Maybe I've even shown my buddies here at work. I know I've shown Buzz an ad from a magazine that has a satellite that you put on like top of your SUV.
Right.
And the ad has, of course, a car that's like in the middle of the Grand Canyon.
Right.
Where the guy is sitting out and watching a football game with all the comforts of home.
Can you do it while you drive, or do you have to be stationary?
If it's on an RV, you can do it while you drive.
Like, for instance, on the Madden bus,
right?
You know, he's got like three satellite dishes because as you move, the satellites pick up the coordinates as you move.
And if you have the only way that, and you mentioned tunnels, that's where you would block the signal. But if you have an unobstructed view,
That's why I like Grand Canyon. Probably be perfect.
Sure. TV that fades out when you go under a bridge.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi. This is Jay in Folsom, and there is Negro Bar here, but it's not a city. It's just a park.
Ooh-hee.
Okay.
Now, in Spanish, Negro means black, and bar means buffet. So apparently, in Spanish, Negro Bar means black buffet.
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
Lasagna.
Black buffet.
That's on the Negro Bar?
Would be the literal translation.
Lasagna.
You know, they're sometimes just too many, as Andy Rooney would say. Too many.
Never too many.
Too many. You know, everyone's writing their own jokes right now.
Hello, Darren.
No one's saying them.
Right. Mike Show.
Not me.
I'm close.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to let you know about Negro Bar. It's not a town. It's actually a state park.
Well, you're the third person that's told us that.
Thank you.
It's in Folsom.
Yes, near Sacramento. And that's why I wonder how many, seriously, how many calls Joe is getting about it right now.
That's all we're going to get. We are actually going to change the topic and take a break.
Okay.
You got to go to the Black Buffet?
Sure do. I'm going to the Negro Bar tonight. That's going to be the site of our next Las Vegas show. Arenas Bowser, the Negro Bar.
I can't wait. It'll be fantastic.
You, Rob, Speedwack, I hate you. I hate your big, fat, bald, head, ass.
Stop, that's not funny.
Cut the jibba-jabba.
Right, too. You're absolutely right.
Woo, look out!
I don't even know if you qualify as a Negro. Little Richard, I don't know. You know, and I took the time to watch the opening. Little Richard made me think of this. I took the time to watch the opening of Monday Night Football this week with the singing.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for some football?
Right.
For the big-time production that ESPN is making out of this, they have got every goddamn has-been and never was. For instance, you have in this quote-unquote all-star band, of course, Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah.
And then Little Richard.
Right.
And then I noticed Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
Wow.
And,
we're getting obscure.
Somebody even, what's his name, from The Sopranos. Yeah, the guy with Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
He's there, of course, with his freaking bandana on.
Right.
He's
wearing his rock and roll uniform.
Joe Perry from Aerosmith is there. But
so they couldn't get Bruce Springsteen or Steven Tyler.
No, but there are three or four more. If you look at the shot where Rick Nielsen gets some camera time,
right.
You know, that's what I said. Oh, that's the guy from Cheap Trick. Like,
does anybody have any idea? I mean, if you weren't like a DJ and you didn't know music, could anybody really identify the guy?
Rick Nielsen? No.
I mean, Joe Perry, maybe. And Stevie Van Zandt, you know?
I would say recognizing him, really. Joe Perry's way down on the scale, man. If you put Joe Perry's pictures up and said to people, who's that?
Right.
Now, people might say it's Johnny Depp or some
movie.
Would
the Nielsen guy be easily identified?
Less than Joe Perry, I would think.
Well, then why the hell are they putting him on TV?
Little Richard gets recognized because of the Geico ad now. I mean, that's the only way, reason.
Well, Little Richard is Little Richard.
He is swishy.
And about Monday Night Football, for those of you listening to us around the country, not to make this totally sports-oriented, because we had Charlie Cassidy on for a while, Kornheiser wrote something today in the Post. I myself get mad at the fact the Washington Post gives him a quarter page 3 days a week, and he writes absolutely nothing except a commercial for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote something today that's absolutely true. It has, of course, because he only writes about 300 words,
right.
He has to take the rest of the space and put a big gigantic picture of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big half-page picture of Mr. Potato Head. And Tony Kornheiser wrote that he thinks Andy Reid looks like Mr. Potato Head. And that...
Did he put a baseball cap on it?
Yeah, it was just a regular Mr. Potato Head. I had a picture of Andy Reid next to it. Mm-hmm. And he wrote that he thought about saying it during the game, but he's not doing it, and that his friends are telling him that he's not being like he is on PTI or like he was in his newspaper columns. So on one hand, it's great that he is realizing this. On the other hand, Mr. Tony, give us what we want. I mean, what you wrote today in the newspaper was absolutely true. You're a suck ass on Monday Night Football. Be the old man grump sourpuss that you are.
Do you know what I think he's never done? I'm sure he's covered a few locker rooms in his day, but he probably has never done what those broadcast teams all do. You know how they
got to go face to face.
They go to training camp. They got to sit down with the guys.
Well,
and he knows he's going to have to pay the piper if he says something like that.
Here's the first sign. I know that for years he's pounded on Brian Billick, you know, the professor from Baltimore.
Right.
And he had to go up there and do a fake game when they were practicing.
Oh, right.
And he had to spend time with Billick. And now he's totally giving a prostate exam all the time.
What is the deal? That's not what he's there for.
No, he had Billick Page right.
I mean, the thing is,
from the beginning,
he's there to be caustic. He's there to be funny. And he's not doing that. And I don't understand why. I don't know whether there's some, you know, suit or executive that's trying to rein him in. You can't rein a guy in if he hasn't gotten out of the stable in the first place.
ESPN has got to want him to be the way he is. Otherwise, why would they hire him?
Well, I just wish, I mean, I really thought, I know you did too, Don. I mean, I thought that was going to be, he was really going to hit a home run. I thought he was going to be fantastic.
For my money, if I'm watching Monday Night Football and it's a blowout, even with my beloved Packers and they're losing by 25 points, Jesus Christ, Tony Kornheiser better start saying that Andy Reid looks like Mr. Potato Head. You really better, or that knob's going to be tuning to another station.
Yeah, more fat jokes, Tony. Come on. Or at least talk about your own hair. You know, talk about your comb-over like we did the other day.
Talk about that one strand of hair. And, I'm on our fan site now, speaking of sports. I like looking at our fan site when we have a sports segment on.
Right.
Here's what it says. Charlie Casserly interview. Is it me, or did this not go well?
What?
Now, here, First Buzz says, Don was stumbling a little. This guy was such a bad interview. What say you? Then the next guy writes, I thought it went okay, but I'm a nut job sports fan, so the interview held my interest because of the football stuff. I believe, however, I may have heard the sound of radios being turned off all over the nation. Thanks.
They don't like the sound of dead air. And when Charlie Casserly has trouble hearing us, wow. You know, like he would say on two separate occasions at the very end of a question, he would say, what was that last part? Because there was somebody in the background where Charlie Casserly was that was going, your dinner's ready!
Here's the next one. Don't get me wrong. I'm as big of a sports fan as the next guy. In fact, I work in sports. But I thought that Charlie wasn't giving Don a good interview.
Wow.
If you listen closely enough, there was a time when Mike helped out Don, and Don gave him that thank you. Usually a sign that a guest doesn't get the show.
Wow. All this analysis. Boy, oh boy, we're analyzed like this every minute, aren't we?
Well, I only look like with the sports stuff.
They might like it better if they thought about it more. Are you taking your pulse?
Yeah.
How is it?
Just thinking about it, you know, thinking about being analyzed every minute. Yeah.
And for the guy who thought he heard all
actually,
the radios
just joking, so
being
don't worry.
Turned off, hey, I'm dumb. Let me tell you something. You're the target audience for this show. Every guy that's your age, that's into football, which is all of us, even Buzz, we're listening to what he said.
Right.
Thank you.
He's Charlie Casserly.
Great. Thank you. Please leave the driving to us, even on the fan sites. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How you doing? I wonder if you could decide a bet between me and my wife.
Of course.
You guys talked about this Negro talk. That's why it prompted me to call.
Oh, yes. We love the Negro talk. That's what we've been doing all day today. Negro talk.
It's Negro food.
On Sunday, when you're watching Fox TV, you know that robot that jumps up and down?
You mean the CGI thing?
Yes. The graphic.
On Fox, like, it's like a robot, it's a football player, and he jumps up and down. And
yes, sir.
My wife says that's a black robot. And I told her that it's a white robot. We got a bet right in over this. I just thought, man,
you're both wrong. It's a Samoan robot.
I believe he is Hispanic, Mike.
Rob is indicating that it is a Jewish robot.
It is.
She says that it's definitely black by his mannerism.
No, it's Hasidic.
A Hasidic Jewish robot.
Do you have
robot.
High def? Because if
sorry?
You look, do you have high def?
Oh, does he have,
yes.
He has
the ring like
the curly crew?
Yeah, he does.
I say it's a white guy. And we got a bet.
Well, you've heard our answer, and we can't come to any consensus here.
Would you get out of here, please?
Which kind of robot is it?
Because he turns around, he has a yarmulke on.
Because the whole next thing, if we start talking about the way people look, I'm going to get going on the Amish. Because, my God.
They're a gentle people.
That is a tragedy.
They are spectacular people.
And it is amazing. Boy, what a suck-up I am with this, all this preface. And it is amazing the way they've confronted all of this.
Yes.
But I must admit, I look at them on TV, and it's like going to the zoo. It's like...
You're curious.
It's like, Jesus Christ, look at how they're dressed. Mm-hmm. God damn. And then I wonder things like, well, if they don't like anything that's modern, why does the guy have that big triangle on the back of his buggy?
That's not true. That's not true that they don't like anything.
I know it's not, but I still...
They actually kind of like, they walk that line a little bit.
I know,
always on the... I mean, I worked for him. I'm the only guy here that worked for him. Mm-hmm. I did radio commercials for the Pennsylvania Dutch Farmers Market, and I worked with the Amish and loved these people. They were great. But it really, you know, man, I was so good at it. I used to be really good at it where I could tell you exactly where the line was, and it was fascinating because they would have certain things that they would do. And I think the criteria, there are people that are, you know, just like Orthodox Jewish people, there are people that actually really adhere to, you know, we will not have a telephone, or we will, and then there are other people that it's for the good of the community, they will have technology.
But there'd be no Amish people like with satellite TV at their house, right?
Only if satellite TV was relevant to some business enterprise that benefited the community. And that probably wouldn't exist.
They try not to get caught up in the technology. They'll touch on it, but not to live that way.
I know this, is that despite this tragedy, not one of them has called for the electric chair.
Jesus. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night.
There he is. That's Rob Spiewak.
Thank you, Rob. Oh, come on, I'll put my name on that one, too.
Me, too. Can't argue with good comedy.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and...
Testing.
I'm on the radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Cut the jibber jabber.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
One.
Why am I being embarrassed every time we have somebody on the phone?
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. Rob's got Frank Caliendo on the phone. Also, thanks whoever the ass is talking to my girlfriend. I mentioned earlier what happened to her at her job, and I thought that I said that I didn't think I handled it the best way last night, but I said a lot of nice things about Janet, that she's a go-getter, and that, you know, kicks some ass, and she gets
ran on her feet and all that.
Yeah. Anyway, some guy called her up during the break. I said, how you doing? She said, well, I'm fine. My friend, whatever his name is, you know, Johnny Dickweed called and said he heard you on the radio, said that you've given me 7 days to get a job.
Huh? That's the way it was.
Ain't that always the way it is? You say something, you know. So Johnny Dickweed, stop calling my girlfriend and telling her. If you're going to tell her something that was said on the radio, say the entire context of the conversation.
Exactly.
Right. Not just the one part.
But that's not what that. When people call to share, so we've all been the recipients of that crap.
Here he is now. I'm sorry. We're going from one thing to another real fast, Mike. I'm sorry. We're flying.
All right.
We want to thank Frank Caliendo, who just got done doing the Letterman show. And here he is now.
Hey Frank.
New York. Hey Frank.
Hey guys, how are you?
We are doing great. Saw the thing on Letterman where it said upcoming guest,
right?
And it said author or excuse me director John Madden. So I will tell you exactly how my mind works. I don't know why I thought this, but I saw this on the program guide. Because that's the kind of tool I am, that I look at the program guide.
Right.
And then I went to frankcaliendo.com, where it said Frank will be on the Letterman show on October the 5th. And I thought, John Madden, Frank Caliendo.
There's a connection there.
So I asked Rob to call, and without giving away what you did, how did it go tonight on Letterman?
Well, the funny thing was, I did my impression of the director, John Madden, tonight.
How'd that go over?
Nobody got it. because I've done it already and they can't edit me out anymore, I will tell you what I did. It's a surprise. I'm a fake guest tonight. They tell the audience and everything that John Madden's coming out, and they're billing it like that and everything. The football, you know, announcer, broadcaster, Hall of Fame coach, by the way. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. I got the yellow jacket. I've never even been to Georgia Tech. And I came out there. I was the first guest up as John Madden. Just did the interview. It went great, you know. And, you know, at one point, Dave goes, I don't understand that the whole, you know, all this football stuff and these crazy rule changes. It's kind of difficult. I said, yeah, I know the feeling, Dave. I have no idea what any of that stuff is either. It went over very well. And what? After tonight, John Madden will hate me more than ever before.
That's a good tease. I like that.
Who cares about that, Frank? Because Letterman will love you more and more. Do you find, especially after that last appearance, when it was obvious, I think we mentioned this to you, that Letterman was just over and over during the show pounding the fact,
right,
this guy, Frank,
that's why they had me come on and, you know, and do this all as John Madden in the makeup and everything. And he even tagged one of my lines with, and that's what that's all about, which is what I said last time. So,
Golden with that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, 99% of other shows in the world, maybe even a higher percent, I would never do this for. You know, it's about 5 years past where I would do this for anybody and go and do it. But it's Letterman.
Yeah.
So you just have to go, you know what? I said to my manager, I go, this will set me back years. He's like, listen, man, kiss the ring, buddy.
You got to kiss the ring. And everybody does that for Letterman, right? Yeah. I mean, Letterman more than any other guy, I think, uses celebrities and uses people in the business in little cameos more than anybody else.
But
it's great.
But this is more than a cameo.
Right.
This is like, I would say, if you're old enough to remember, it's like if Johnny Carson had somebody on that he thought, and I remember like with Albert Brooks. He would have Albert Brooks on when Albert Brooks was no friggin' buddy in the world, like you, Frank. And he would come on, and he would kill Johnny Carson. And that got his whole thing going. If you've got Letterman's attention, that's pretty golden.
It. Yeah.
It's great because he, you know, I was told it was obviously something that he really wanted to do, and when it did very well, they're talking about, what other stuff could we do? I go, how about me come on as me and talk to him? How about that? How about live the dream? When I got off, everybody, you know, I walked out the back, everybody clapped for me, and then some of the people go, you made the boss laugh.
That's a big deal.
That's
cool. Hey, Frank, do you bring your Mad TV Fox makeup person across country with you? And do they travel with you? Or did they bring in some gunslingers to do the makeup? Because I know it's pretty involved. I mean, how did that work?
Yeah, well, I brought the guy that does it for the NFL on Fox stuff for me. I'm done with Mad TV. I'm no longer on the show now. So, he came with me, who used to do a lot of my stuff on Mad TV. He did it and put it together. It's actually a pretty doggone good makeup today. And we got a new wig and stuff like that for the Madden, so it looks more real. And it's
great.
Yeah, he's going to be angry.
When we had JB on a couple weeks ago, we were telling him that the opening weekend of the Fox show was like the tribute to James Brown, even though he no longer works there. And your JB that you did was better than the one you did where all four of you guys were sitting around the table.
It definitely got better.
Really, I mean, that is a lost art. Oh, and speaking of Mad TV, when Bobby Lee was on this show last week.
Oh, was he talking trash about you, Frank?
Watch me dropping names like we have people on the show all the time. he said, you suck ass.
Did he say that with his pants on or off?
Ah, there you go.
No,
that guy gets naked more than any guy who thinks he's heterosexual ever that I've ever met.
I think he commits to the role, doesn't he?
Yeah, Bobby's a very funny guy. We all we ever did, and I know this sounds stereotypical, but all we ever really did was play ping pong at Mad TV. you always think of Italians and ping pong. But
do you miss it? Do you miss doing the Mad TV?
Not a bit. I didn't have any fun there anymore. So I actually have a pilot for TBS that's my own sketch show that I'm going to call Chappelle's Show.
He's been asked that question before, I guess.
I do have a pilot for TBS and another one for Fox Sports Net that's kind of like going to different cities and meeting the fans and stuff. So it's, I got one of those things will happen, or maybe I'll just appear on Letterman as different people all the time.
Are you still doing your stand-up everywhere?
Yeah. I'm traveling around right now. Like next week, I'm in St. Louis and Western Michigan and stuff like that. And I'll be out in D.C. at some point. I think we're looking at like April of next year or something like that. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you still as wonderfully insecure as you were when you were here? And I mean that as a compliment.
I mean, as far as like selling out shows and things
you were
like that.
You were amazed that people were there for your whole show and that people were like standing up and cheering and stuff. You're still getting great response. You got to get great response, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, but, you know, you never want to, I mean, I don't think I'm insecure about selling them out. I just want to get them sold out so I can make as much money as possible. You know, that's the thing for me. For me, for being away from my family for 4 days or whatever, it's always about, I got to maximize my amount of time so then another week I can take off or take, you know, go down a couple of days. And just do 2 days somewhere.
Frank Caliendo, working comic.
If you don't mind asking, when you're on Letterman, they pay to fly you out and they put you, I'm guessing, at a nice hotel. Do you get just scale for doing that?
$1,000, right around there. I think the makeup guy made more than me.
And as far, it's not like a Saturday Night Live or anything like that. You're done. You basically get in the, you know, get in your car, get in your limo, get in your cab, and go back to the hotel, right? There's no cast party afterwards, is there?
Yeah, I'm flying out to flying back to LA to shoot my NFL bit this week, which oddly enough is it's a Letterman sketch where I'm playing Letterman and Paul Schaefer.
Oh, great!
Yeah, it's the top 10 differences between Rocky and Howie Long because we're in Philadelphia. Number 10, Rocky's been to at least one museum.
Good. And when you're on that Letterman show, how high is that band?
I mean,
can you smell the weed? Can you smell the weed on those guys?
I was wondering. I smelled some stuff around before, and now I realize where it came from.
Well, you are a good man for calling us, and we appreciate just coming off that appearance and got to fly somewhere else. Please, everybody, watch Frank. He'll be the first guest on the Letterman show tonight.
Yeah, it'll be. I know it'll kill you. We don't even have to know what it is to know
Frank,
it'll kill.
Frank, you're the greatest. Thank you for checking in.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, dude. Bye bye.
That's Frank Caliendo.
Very talented.
Fox NFL Sunday, and he's got some stuff in the works. And I do miss him on Mad TV. I forgot that he's not on there anymore.
You know, that's got to be good for him though. If he leaves and they say the big man laughed,
you made the boss laugh. Yeah, that's what they said. You made the boss laugh.
Very good.
But now, you know, Letterman is like anybody in the business too. How long before he wants him again? You know, when he starts going to the well. You know, I mean, if Frank was concerned about doing it this particular time, because you know, if it works, I mean, Letterman. Look, the bottom line: we're a one step above circus clowns in this business. But when you do anything on a daily basis, you know, if it works,
you run them to the ground.
They're going
to
want it again and again and again. He'll want him to be Alan Coulter. He will.
Yeah.
He'll want Madden again. Bring Madden out, you know, and it'll be like the Chinese lady.
Well, that's great.
Except funny.
Right, except funny.
Right. That's great for Frank. And I meant that as a compliment when I said that he was insecure. I remember that I remember Janet and I left the stage area of the improv, waiting for him, and we went out where there were people lined up to get his CD,
right,
and his DVD, and
he actually
talked to him. Yeah,
he's
out
there sitting at a table.
He's like, "Hey, I got my DVD here, and I got my CD here." And as people would walk in, did you really like the show? Did you really think it was funny? Do you think that I went too over the top of that? Did you really have a good time? I'm glad you had a really good time. And I mean, he wasn't putting on an act.
He's humble. It's different than a lot of comedians approach it. You know, like a guy like a Seinfeld, I think, would be sequestered somewhere. I
Who
mean, you
wants
just don't
to buy my DVD?
Well, I saw that documentary with Seinfeld, you know, where they have him back in the green room.
Oh, that
Remember
is a great
guy,
one.
Remember the guy comes walking in and he's like, not now, not now.
Right.
And he's doing his whole free meditation.
And isn't that the same one? I forget the name of that.
What the hell is that documentary?
Comedian. I've seen it because there's that one scene where he's sitting there with Chris Rock and
right.
sitting around like a
And they're talking about Cosby doing 2.5 hours straight.
Yeah.
And how impressed they were with that. You know, it's a. But, you know, I think it depends on the type of guy. He is so real when we talk to Frank Caliendo. It's like the answer he gave you was, I want to make money. I want to make money, and I'm 4 days away from my family. I want to make as
we
much money
as
I can.
Money as I can.
That's the real way of looking at it.
One time when he was in the green room, I went back to him, and I said, you know, we're running a few minutes late. He says, don't worry about it. As long as I can get as much time as possible to sell as many tickets, you make me wait all day if you want.
Yeah. Right?
And that
he is
was
a
so genuine.
He is a pragmatic comedian.
He really is, and a nice guy. Just greedy.
A nice, greedy comedian.
Uh-huh. And the last thing he said that'll make me watch it tonight, maybe even stay up to watch it,
yeah,
when he said, this is the one that might make Madden mad.
Yeah.
Because
and I like, you know what's going to make me stay up and watch it? I got a new wig.
Because the word was that Madden was not thrilled with the stuff when Madden worked at Fox.
Right.
Every once in a while, Frank would do the bit where he would come out with like hot wings, and he would just have the sauce all over his face.
Yeah, because Kimmel was his entree, right? Kimmel used to bring him on.
Jimmy Kimmel would use Caliendo as the Madden guy, and they would come back, and none of the four guys would be laughing at that. They'd come back and like, okay, thank you very much, Jimmy.
Not funny.
All right, anyway, do I really have to tell you this? The David Letterman Show airs on CBS television.
I believe it comes on right after your local news.
Check your local listings, everybody. So, good for Frank. Thank you very much. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Profanity or combs?
Let's see. I was on there last night. I don't know Alan as well.
Oh, let me just set this up. This is John Stewart doing what needs to be done, busting Dennis Miller's balls.
Oh, fantastic. I thought it was Dennis Miller.
Okay, here we go.
You got to. Hannity or Combs?
Let's see. I was on there last night. I don't know Alan as well, but he seems like a convivial guy. Sean scares me sometimes because he gets glazed over a little about stuff.
And that would be the good kind of sex, that you're scared of the guy sex.
Scared of the guy's sex?
If you had to. Didn't I give you the nudge, wink, wink? If you had to. If you had to.
Oh.
I wanted to make it clear where I was going here.
Well, John,
if you had to.
I'm under contract with Fox, and there's a certain immoral clause I have to adhere to. I would probably do Hannity.
Yeah.
Just because I know he wouldn't like it.
Not bad.
Hello!
Isn't it sickening to hear Dennis Miller say he works for Fox News now?
Yeah, was that John Stewart trying to make him act like a comedian again?
Yeah.
Made him look funny.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Cut the jibba jabba. Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Oh, look out! Look out! See?
Broadcasting with a utility belt full of fun for ye, Don and Mike.
I got that TiVo and have just not watched that episode yet. Somebody told me that John Stewart did a pretty good job of calling Dennis Miller out, saying, hey, you used to be a funny guy. And
what happened? When did you become like a mouthpiece for the right?
How funny is that? Well, I don't know, since I worked for Fox. I mean, at least he answered the joke. But
He answered it honestly, too. He's a Hannity guy.
Hey, listen, tomorrow on the big show, on the Friday get-together, it's the celebration of Buzz's 78th birthday.
What? Man, he looks fantastic.
We are going to have a two-girl show for Buzz tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'll be the first time that we've had one of these two-girl shows in our brand-new state-of-the-art studios in Classic Rockville. And Buzz has lots of room in his room for the two-girl show.
Dancing room.
Boy, look at all that. Are you going to bring in a special oriental carpet or something? Or
perhaps a cot.
Although tomorrow, as you wrote this down, Mike's present.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Mike's presence as in
Mike, he's here?
Going to be here. I mean P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S.
Oh.
Mike is going to buy presents for Buzz's birthday, and I'm trying to help out so that you don't forget.
There will be a total of 8 to 10 gifts.
Oh, my God.
That he will open up.
Wow.
In ascending order.
That's too much.
From the one that I think he's going to kind of go, to the one that he's going to like.
I want to ask you something off the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Buzz, fill time for a moment.
Yeah. All right. We're getting ready for the big show. I'm pretty excited. Tomorrow is the actual celebration of my birthday, which is actually Saturday. I have lots of things planned with friends and family, of course. But what I'm really looking forward to, not just the two-girl show, of course, but all of tomorrow's birthday celebration.
Okay. Good job.
What was
good job, Mike.
It's going to be special.
Good job. Also tomorrow, you know, when we were talking about bad faggy songs and then just bad songs in general. Tomorrow we're going to try to do Stump the Stoop with some of the worst songs ever.
Like obscure songs or just bad music?
Yes.
Okay.
Both. Not only obscure, they got to be good enough, big enough songs that people will know them.
Right.
But
bad songs.
Really bad songs.
Good.
bad gay techno pop.
Bad can be good.
Bad like Macarena.
I only have 9,800 songs in iTunes, so we'll pick up tomorrow.
And also tomorrow, the Friday visit. So we got a busy one tomorrow. We did our football thing today with Charlie Casserly. Thank you again. I should mention he is on the NFL Today, which is 12 noon on Sunday, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. On our website today, we have a picture. Mike, now, you don't have a lot of time to study this.
All right.
This is a quiz.
Okay.
You may look at the photo that I'm going to hand you for exactly 5 seconds.
All right.
It's a celebrity, a hot celebrity, without her makeup on.
All right.
Rob, put 5 seconds on the clock, please.
I'm ready when you are.
Go, Mike.
Right. Got it.
Okay, you got it. Rob, can I... It was
3 seconds when he signed out.
What would you do here?
Oh. 5 seconds!
How long do you think I looked at that picture?
Signed off at about 2.2.
That was good.
That's 2 seconds.
If we're playing Stump the Stupid, mm-hmm. You've got it. With pictures, you're great. Who is it?
Sharon Stone.
Winner.
Thank you very much.
Winner.
I'm a fan, and I would still do her without her makeup.
Hagged out as goddamn
may I take
hell.
May I take a better look at it now?
Please take a look at the wall that has run into her face.
I beg to differ, Don, because she just still, to me, looks Trey doable.
Yuck.
She really does. I mean, she doesn't have the eye makeup on, but man, would you do her?
Oh, yeah.
Would you look at her again? Look at her. Would you maybe do her?
No.
Rather do her
really?
15 years
no.
ago.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Really? I sound like Merv.
Plus,
still would. Absolutely.
Here's the thing about Sharon Stone.
You're not as big a fan of hers as I am.
No. Never have been. Not even in Basic Instinct. When she was really just a piece of ass.
You've never been one for that type of look, which is the blonde hair with the dark eyebrows.
The glam. No.
You don't like that look.
No.
What was her Western?
Well, oh, God, I forgot. Where she was like the gunfighter.
She's not done any good movies at all except the one where she spread her legs.
No, her movies suck.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about, where she spread her legs. Right. Now, that picture's on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Go to today's hot steaming log. Go ahead, Mike, work it.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Look out! You ready to get something going here?
It's kind of a neat look. It's kind of like she'd look if you were just hanging out with her.
Right. Do you want a bathroom break?
No, thank you, sir.
I'll tell you who's a piece of ass.
Oh.
Look who is right here.
Well,
every day, right in front of me, and I bring this up for a moment. Look how dog-eared this picture of Jennifer Aniston almost top.
Well, I can tell she practically looks at you out of that photograph.
It's such a beautiful picture of her.
Her eyes follow
you. She is so friggin' beautiful, Jennifer Aniston. Fantastic news.
What?
Fantastic news. I got a shot.
She's breaking it off?
According to Us Weekly, Vince Vaughn.
Not right for her anyway.
Vince Vaughn is the latest prick to break up with Jennifer Aniston. Now, you would think that it would be the other way around.
Yeah I would think
that she'd wake up one day and realize that even Vince Vaughn appears to be a funny guy that he probably smells like ass all the time.
So he dumped her?
On the telephone.
Oh, no.
On the telephone. Vince Vaughn.
I picture him like doing it like in his slicky boy way that he does it in his movies.
Baby, I can't hang with you, baby. I gotta go. Vince Vaughn now in the new Us Weekly says that he broke up with Jennifer Aniston on September 9th. He did it on the telephone, and that he thinks Jennifer Aniston is too needy.
Oh man! So I mean, he really came out and said that.
Yes.
So there's got to be some real hostility if he played it that way.
And he also mentioned that his mom didn't like her.
Wow!
Ouch!
Now this second consecutive breakup and not very long. That doesn't damage her in your eyes?
No. I mean, look at the guy she's been with.
Who's the unlucky lady in the relationship?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston's the unlucky lady in the casino tonight. And all gets back to those movies.
Mikey wins.
Mikey's the big winner.
Money.
Oh, come on, baby.
So she's out there. Now, Brad Pitt, I understand why she was with him. I'm no faggot.
He's a fag.
But they tell me he's a good looking guy.
He's reasonably attractive.
You know what I mean?
As a male.
You know what I mean? And they made a nice looking couple. They could be a power couple.
Right.
We dumped her.
Right.
All right. So then she goes with Vince Vaughn. Now Vince Vaughn dumps her. Jesus. My shot's got to be somewhere in
this. This is the time. This is the time when you know what you're doing. You're coming in after the middle relationship, you know, the transitional relationship.
Yeah.
Now's the time for you. She'll like your stability.
I'm there for
she's
you.
Been with a kind of pretty boy movie actor.
She's needy.
Now she's got a working jock.
A working disc jockey.
He'd be with a fat disc jockey.
How are you going to make your overture to her?
I'm doing it right now.
Hello. She's not going to just hear it.
She's not. We're not on everywhere.
You got to email it.
We're not on everywhere, and everybody in the world doesn't listen to us.
You
send
have
her a
big
podcast.
Yeah, hello. Her email it.
Let me just take this from Todd because every line is ringing with this very same thing. Because as you know, our audience is nothing if they're not correctors, and they want to make sure that every detail gets out there. Todd now speaking for the 18,000 people who have called in the last 2 moments. Todd.
Robbie said, what was her Western? It was The Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Dead. There that's not a corrector, that's a helper.
That is an answer of a question.
Sounds like my honeymoon.
I believe it was a rhetorical question, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
The corrector on Fox.
What sounds like your honeymoon? The Quick and the Dead?
The Quick and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead. Why? You'd be the Quick and Carrie would be the Dead.
It's
wow.
just a joke.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Horrible
not
joke.
Not a funny joke. Not a funny joke at all, Rob.
It's a brutal joke.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. I was just going to let you know the name of the Sharon Stone movie.
Oh, right, like Jesus. I told you. They come out like flies now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but she was good. The Quick and the Dead.
She looked great in that little, that tight, like she was wearing like leather pants,
yeah.
wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Hot.
And but she looked good in Huff when she was doing those scenes
she
with
looked
Oliver
and
Platt.
That's very recent, so sure.
Yeah, God. Still, absolutely.
I'm not saying
she's with a young Leonardo DiCaprio in that.
She was with
Western?
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, all right, all right.
You know, when you said that, you sounded creepy.
Was he in leather pants?
he was, with a slip on the side.
She does make sucky movies, though. Yeah, when you think of her
even one
filmography,
movie. Basic Instinct isn't even a good movie.
It's not a classic movie.
Is she an Intersection with Richard Gere, where they're having an affair or something, and then she gets a car accident or
and that's
something?
Like that's a second tier movie.
No. Hold on,
it's not a smash movie.
You know what she is good in though?
What
she is good in Casino.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
She's great.
There we go.
Casino.
She has one movie where it's a tour de force,
and she is Trey Effable. Before she starts becoming a junkie, like in the very beginning when she...
Hey, money!
When she's throwing the chips in the air.
Yeah, but you know what the buzzkill, the supreme buzzkill in that movie...
Can I guess? Hold on. Can I please guess?
All right, I'll tell you. Yeah. Can I just go?
Joe Pesci.
Okay.
Or Albert Brooks making out with Meryl Streep.
Albert Brooks making out with Meryl Streep. Because Albert Brooks does that little thing with his lower lip where he's just like, oh, yes, I love you so much. I don't like, look, I'm a huge fan, probably not as big as you, of Albert Brooks, but I cannot stand Albert Brooks in any kind of love scene at all. He shouldn't do them.
I love the concept of the movie Defending Your Life,
yeah,
and
right.
I have discussed that before. Brilliant concept,
yep.
Brilliantly executed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Brooks just should have cut the scenes out of the movie where he makes out with her. He can be in love.
It would have been a great movie if he had.
He can make a movie where he's in love with her, where he has to face his fears, and he almost gets killed at the end.
Or even turn the camera away from the makeout scene where he does that little thing with his lip where he's just like, bah, 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 bah. It's disgusting. I need to see that.
Now,
gross.
There's an old bra that I would still do.
Meryl
Streep.
Over
Sharon,
I might.
Sharon Stone. I definitely would.
Before Sharon Stone?
Ooh.
No.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe, yeah.
You've always liked Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I have.
Well, I think she's hot.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I really do. I mean, I know she's not classically beautiful, but she's good. You know, she's different.
I bet she does everything. Hello.
Streeper.
So how are you going to ask her out?
Pardon me?
So how are you going to ask her out?
That's an Aniston question.
Aniston, I just did.
Let's go.
Meryl Streep or Glenn Close?
Hello?
Oh, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Glenn Close is not sexual. Hello.
She wasn't a big chill.
My name's Tom, and I want to say the movie that Sharon Stone was good in, which was Total Recall.
Are you talking about the shower scene? When she's crying in the shower, and you see her boobie.
Yeah.
That's all it is for you.
I was 12. Come on. Work with me.
I like the crying.
Yeah. And you're right. Sharon Stone was also not bad in Total Recall.
Yeah, but Total Recall is not
I know it's
great.
A dumb movie, but what the hell. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Would you still eat the corn?
Aniston's? Yes.
Nice.
That's all he needed, Don.
That's
nice.
All he needed. I'll add the cream.
Oh, God.
I don't mind.
Chowder!
Hey, oh, look at this. It's almost
what?
6 o'clock on the east. It's almost 3 o'clock on the west.
Wonderful.
That means it's almost time for Buzz's news. Let me see. Buzz, are you going to be talking about the kid toucher tonight?
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
See if I have anything.
We are a bit.
If I have anything new. Oh, how about Tony Snow?
I don't have anything on him today, so...
Tony Snow.
Tony Snow, alias Frankenstein.
Got number 9, Tony Snow, talking about Foley, I'm guessing.
The House has to clean up the mess to the extent that there's a mess. The president is not responsible for going back and conducting his own personal investigation.
Man, I would donate $1,000 to his favorite charity if he would just dress up as Frankenstein for Halloween. Boy, he'd be perfect as.
Just need 2 balls.
Frankenberry.
And, okay, let's see.
Mark does not blame the trauma he sustained as a young adolescent
the lawyer.
For his totally inappropriate
David Roth. Yeah, of course he doesn't, but he decided he'd come forward with this excuse.
Mark was under the influence of alcohol at the time that he sent the inappropriate emails, and I am recovering from the disease of alcoholism.
Liar!
All right.
Does that include the House vote?
Screw that.
Liar!
We'll go to Bob's news in a moment. One tape that I know Bob won't have during his newscast. Very rare now that you're going to find me playing a tape of T.O. that I think is funny.
Okay.
But he is funny when he talks about what the Philly fans are going to yell at him this weekend. This was lifted off SportsCenter today. Here's T.O.
I mean, once we win, it'll be special. But right now, like I said, it's going to be a good game. We're not going there to, taste the cheesesteaks. We're not going there to visit the crack in the Liberty Bell. We're going up there to try to win a ball game. Mm-hmm. Probably the most hated guy coming into Philly this weekend. So, I expect the worst. I've already heard they got a little chant ready.
Now, listen to this. This cracked my ass up. You got to think the guy really was not going to kill himself last week. Because listen to this.
For me, so,
what's your chance?
O.D., 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 son. I'm ready for it.
Now, can you not picture the
O.D., O.D., O.D.?
O.D., O.D.
You get, that's a gear. Wow. That's a stone cold lock.
Yep.
Now, that's my parlay of the week.
I never say this about T.O., but how great is it that he knows about it, and he's already laughing about it.
And you know what?
And you know what?
The rare times, I'm for him. I'm all for him.
He's going to be out there doing that goddamn bird dance, and all of those...
I hope he catches...
All those knuckleheads, he went, O.D.
I hope he catches 8 touchdown passes.
Will Joe
really
Buck call that game?
Yeah.
Because that will be something that he will say.
That's really out of line.
Hey, guys... Over the line. It's Jim Nance. I'm not even doing this game with you guys.
I stopped by.
Don't you believe this is the kind of stuff he will go? He'll go nuts.
Oh, he'll feed him.
He will go nuts, and I think he'll have a great game.
And I urge the Philly fans, being as T.O. as Matt, to elevate your game.
Raise the stakes.
Think Barry Bonds. Think when the first syringe was thrown at him.
Right.
You know, you got to do this thing.
This is disgusting. We see the Philadelphia fans are throwing painkillers onto the field.
But here's the problem.
Their field is covered with a leaf.
Yeah, see, individual pills, I don't think will do it.
Individual pills, but pills, in moss will be really amazing.
I'm thinking, may I have 10,000 marbles, please?
Yes. It's raining a leaf in this stadium.
Oh, boy, is this
great. That is the one to watch. Is that a 4 o'clock game?
4 o'clock game.
Very good. I'm glad it's a 4 o'clock game.
O.D.
O.D.
O.D. See, now I'm laughing.
Very, very exciting.
Thank you, T.O. Got a break. We'll have Bob's news and more stuff about Foley. Come on.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno Style Show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
I always got to make sure we get in the part about Buzz being certified clean.
I beg your pardon.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
I never promised you.
Make it so worthwhile. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
I just got to say what the frick. Don't be afraid of success. We started off today's show with three songs in a row by Jerry Reed.
Exactly.
I'm going through all this stuff for the chance that we do something soup tomorrow. I don't think this would count as a bad song. I would not put this in the something soup bad song category.
Pretty huge hit, right, when it came out.
Lillian Anderson.
Yeah, but the size of the hit doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
Oh,
many
like
suck
it.
Songs. I do.
You like it?
I do.
I like the little guitar part where it goes.
I just can't get over the fact that she was arrested for shoplifting last year.
Here's another Mr. 10 minutes ago.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show. Hello. Howdy.
Good. Hey, I wanted to tell you the T.O. song. It wasn't the way you guys were doing it. Was originally when he was, you know, everybody loved him in Philadelphia. It was, 'cause I'm from Philadelphia. It was T.O. And then now they're doing it as O.D.
He can't hear us.
O.D.
He cannot hear a word we're saying.
I just want to let you know.
God, I hope Dallas wins.
Hello?
Really, really hope Dallas wins. So he's from Philadelphia.
You there? Hello?
Oh, my God.
Now
we're
going to...
I can still hear you.
What say you?
Is this Joe?
Hello?
Oh, man. Hello?
Hello? He's too stupid to do it. He's too stupid to do it.
Hey, Joe? Joe.
Joe.
Joe?
Yep.
Do your thing.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Push the button.
Yeah.
Good man.
Thank you.
Block those calls forever. Now let's go to Bubby with the news. Hi, Bubby.
Hey, Bubby.
I like this.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Excuse me. Bubby is brought to you tonight by Cox.
Ah.
They're great.
Yes, they are.
Well, what's the problem, Bubby?
I was waiting for...
I think we were all waiting for the end of the commercial.
Brought to you by Cox.
That's right, there it is. Okay.
Cox Business Services.
Yeah.
Providing broadband-based high-speed internet, local and long-distance phone, video, and data solutions for all size businesses. CoxBusinesses.com.
There you go.
Or CoxBusiness.com.
CoxBusiness.com?
Or do what I do. Just Cox.
And a great cry went up throughout the land. Let the Foley probe begin.
Ooh!
Hey, Buzz.
Oh.
Hey, Buzz with the probe joke.
The House,
come on, squeal.
The House Ethics Committee is launching an investigation into Mark Foley's relationships with young pages, but what may really be on the line here is the job of
young pages.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And Republican lawmakers who normally stand by Hastert are now blaming him publicly for not acting on a problem he reportedly knew about for several years. Hastert says his resignation is all ABC News really wanted when it broke the Foley story.
I saw a picture of that guy walking down the hallway. He needs the wand. Waddling.
I was,
no question.
My great minds think alike. I was just picturing him. This morning they had footage of him standing at the front door of his house saying, go away, go away.
Go away.
You know, maybe the good news for him is maybe someday he'll actually be able to look down and see his penis again. Maybe if they take him out of office, the stress will force him to lose a little weight.
You cannot eat pizza.
Now, at first, Astrid said he would not resign. Last night, he said he wouldn't stay on if it hurt the party. It might. Other high-ranking Republican lawmakers also knew about Foley and did nothing.
You know, they're all like this
today
on both sides of the aisle. It is so much fun to watch them eat their own because they really
go
crazy.
They just made another joke, Mike.
That's a Foley joke, Foley, too. But they really, I mean, it's just amazing.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
They scatter like rats.
I can't believe the Democrats stand by and do nothing while the Republicans beat each other up. Today, Hastert said he won't resign.
This much we do know for sure. Former Congressman Mark Foley checked into a Florida rehab center. We also know that most of the rehab centers in Florida are run by Scientologists. Science fiction writer and Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard came up with a rehab concept that became the basis of Narconon. And we also know this. Now that people have begun to try to connect these dots, Scientology has just removed from its website a photo of Mark Foley and others holding leather-bound copies of a couple of L. Ron Hubbard's books.
Oh, he's a Scientologist.
This keeps getting better.
You can't write this stuff.
This is amazing.
So now we're going to have to find out what Tomcat thinks.
Right, exactly. Mr. Cruz, do you have any comments?
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, kid, limbo's closed. Angel out front, should have told you. In the Catholic faith and a couple of others, limbo is where dead babies go if they never got baptized. It's the taint of Catholicism. Taint heaven, taint hell, taint purgatory. Hey. It's limbo.
The taint is something else entirely, Buzz.
Yeah, but you can get a great jerk chicken sandwich there.
At least it was the taint of Catholicism until this week when the Pope signs a document abolishing the medieval belief of limbo from the Catholic faith.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to limbo. We're over here. Over here, you got a lovely rum drink bar over there. You can get yourself your Mai Tais, your rum runners, anything you want. And over here, we've got some Caribbean favorites at limbo.
Now, you're the German Pope, right?
Yes, my name is Ratzenberger. Nice to be with you.
You sound like the guy from Cheers.
Your basic limbo is where you go when you can't go here, can't go there. You're in limbo, so to speak. Uh-huh. But it's also a very famous Caribbean dance that's used by a pole all around the limbo block. Hey, let's do the limbo rock. Thank you, Robbie.
Well, the new thinking of the Vatican is God wants as many saved souls as possible.
Amen.
And being a merciful God, we would never put babies into cold storage like that.
That's all right. They have a good time. We've got a nursery down there. They enjoy themselves quite completely.
So limbo is now closed. Heaven and hell still open 24/7.
Oh, that's right. I closed it. Yes, limbo's closed.
Purgatory will now have shorter hours and be closed on Sundays and holidays.
Welcome to purgatory there. Hey, that's one of my favorite artists. You got your Harry Belafonte. Thank you, Donnie.
Ramadan is kind of the Islamic equivalent to the Catholic Lent, only more
All right,
strict.
I'll try it, Robbie. Where do dumb blondes go?
Where?
Bimbo. Thank you. I thought it was worth it, too.
Yeah.
Good call. The boss liked it.
Yeah, you made the boss laugh.
I made the boss laugh, Rob. Be a little something extra in your Ramadan.
So to Muslims, Ramadan is kind of like Lent for the Catholics, only more strict. Muslims fast and abstain from sex, even with themselves. The religious leader in Iran...
And then I sat and really worked it.
...today reminding folks not to work it during Ramadan. That, he says, would cancel out the entire month of fasting.
See, for me, I wouldn't work because it's not Christmas for me if I... Look at that! Somebody put snowflakes on the tree.
Those aren't snowflakes.
Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei said all of this on his website, where he takes questions from the faithful. A man who asked about working it, but with no happy ending, was told it's not a violation so long as it was unintentional. End quote. Nothing is discharged.
Well, there's your cheat right there.
No discharge.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Okay. So you held up on that one.
Yeah,
and I jumped in and I really. So, no, it's. Come on.
Yeah, you can have a leak, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
You can have a leak. Well, hell, that's how most people get pregnant. I mean, it's not a gusher. All it takes is a thimbleful.
Bear in mind, I'm simply quoting a religious.
Rob, I'm simply quoting the Bible. Page 87. Only takes an eyedropper full to get the job done.
So we're done with the religious news, but we're not done with the sex news. That continues when we do.
Yeah, that part of the Bible is Ziggy's letter to the Handishans.
There you go, making jokes again.
I'm going to go to limbo.
There you go, making jokes again.
I'm terribly sorry.
You're going to rush limbo.
That's right. Dumb blondes go to bimbo.
We'll be right back with much more buzz.
Number 4, Arbitron.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Both the cause and the cure for an ice cream headache. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, look at this now. We're doing good on time. Let's get another nice, big, long, really regular segment from Buzz. Two full segments for Bubby tonight.
Bubby!
How you doing, Bubby?
I'm doing well. Let me thank you with some sex news. A survey of drivers in London shows that on average, they admit to not concentrating on their driving for more than 25% of the time they're behind the wheel. And although millions cited distractions like job and family, well over a million said they were thinking about sex. In this country, I'm guessing the number's even higher.
Hello?
Of course, we're Americans.
You know who you are.
We're the hello?
Best at everything in the world.
What's that joke you always do with the H's? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hey, ain't thinking about sex. I hope it doesn't involve rape.
Amen.
As Bobby Knight said, if rape is inevitable,
I back in the oil.
Hey, and he ate the South Bend. Shame on you. Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Fergie.
Fergie.
Oh, Fergie. No, it's me, Posh Spice. Hello. Hello.
Go on.
David Beckham wants to ape me.
Oh, no, it don't have to. You're his wife.
Guys, if you enjoy the screaming, get an educated 40-year-old woman.
Get an educated 40-year-old?
40-year-old woman. 40.
I have an educated
woman.
I have an educated 40-year-old woman.
Yes.
She's
well, there
42.
You go. There you go.
Okay.
You're in good shape. A new study shows that women with graduate degrees are more likely than less educated women to experience a full-throttle happy ending. 9,000 women were surveyed, and the study found that it's more about higher education than, say, the number of partners.
I think it's more about what daddy's got in his pants.
The study also found that 40 is a very good age for women in that department. 40-year-olds dust the 20-year-olds, the 20-somethings, in much the same way they dust the 50-somethings.
Yeah, I doubt it.
The study was done down under in Australia.
So you just had like a million innuendos there, which is a joke in itself. Innuendo.
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 You are correct, Congressman Foley.
In fact, I'm taking you around the world with the sex news. Sex is also one of the reasons that Cubans say so many of them live to over 100 years old. Sex, cigars, and coffee. Those were the top answers among centenarians in a small country that's home to over 100 people who are over,
you know what,
100 years old.
I am looking across the console at a man that likes his coffee,
sex,
and
right?
Likes his cigars,
mm-hmm. And likes my sex.
And Cuban women. Somebody asked.
No.
Oh, no?
Oh, no. See, that's me.
I was presumptuous.
Now, I get that one because I remember I'm a big Gloria Estefan fan. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's good news for Mark.
Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban.
I like the sandwich, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like a Cuban sandwich, man.
I do like sex. I do like, cigars, and I do like coffee.
Yeah.
Ooh, goddamn.
There you go. You may shoot for over 100. I don't smoke cigars anymore, and I don't drink coffee anymore.
Well,
you may want to take those up again. Yeah, man, that might be an idea, but I still do the sex.
I do the sex.
I'll give you a mic. I do the sex.
Do you do the sex?
I do the sex.
I do. You like the greasy?
After he watches
I
the
do.
Cable. I like the greasy. You know what I mean.
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
Why?
Because you're not supposed to.
They ask.
I'm going to hear you finally admit that.
Yes, the real
truth. It's in the Bible.
Gotta say it's true. They ask Cuban centenarians why.
Why?
They said sex, cigars, and coffee. They also said stay away from alcohol.
Well,
of course, genetics is a big factor. Most of Cuba's centenarians had parents who lived to be that old. Still, we prefer to focus on the sex, cigars, and coffee.
Stay away from alcohol.
Color me dead.
Right.
Now, because parents in India have been choosing to have boys, single women have become so scarce there, men are now renting out their wives to other men.
This is a very nice deal. She will please you greatly.
A farm worker in India makes about 20...
Can I lick her dot?
You may if you pay an extra 10 rubies or whatever the hell you have to spend. Whatever the denomination is in India.
Hey, excuse me. May I suck your wife's dot?
Yes, you may.
A big dot on her forehead.
Only if you throw in an extra cow.
That is included. A farm worker in India makes about 22 bucks a month. One guy just rented out his wife to a rich guy.
Hey, Janet, I just found a great new job for you.
Before you're going to suck the dot, make sure you sprinkle it with curry and cumin.
In a country where 22 bucks a month is pretty average, one guy just rented out his wife to a rich guy for 175 bucks a month. That does include chores and sex.
Does that translate into rupees, Buzz?
I'm sure it does. I don't have the calculator with me.
Drop a couple of rupees in her drink. She'll do anything.
Other rich guys are hiring headhunters to find themselves a single gal, if you'll pardon the pun. Prostitution is illegal in India, but there you have it, and she does windows.
Oh.
Those are dot headhunters.
new study by the UN's World Health Organization says we could prevent millions of AIDS deaths in Africa by simply circumcising the boys. The study's probably right that the uncut are better carriers of the disease in third world countries where hygiene is neither practiced nor taught. Drastic problems like AIDS in Africa call for drastic answers, so a chopping we will go if the WHO gets its way.
You know, and I understand in Africa you can't get any fried calamari either.
All right, now come here, son. Come here for a second. We got an outbreak of a disease in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You let me do this.
And I'm going to go let you look that girl's doc.
Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon.
You'd be a good boy. Well, I fit you up here so you can't procreate anymore.
But here in America, we draw the line at mutilating earlobes and lips. The schools in Arlington, Texas have just banned the earlobe stretching practice known as gauging.
Ow, and ear! Ow!
And the mouth jewelry known as grills. Well, maybe next year. Nobody noticed it at first, but in the 2006 budget for the war in Iraq, $20 million were set aside for a victory party. The fine print goes on to say that if the money's not spent in 06, it'll be rolled over to 07. The money, the way the spending bill puts it, is for a commemoration of success in Iraq and Afghanistan. We will, of course, want to honor the soldiers who served their country honorably there, provided they didn't turn out to be gay.
Mission accomplished.
Unfortunately, the victory... There it is. $20 million. Everybody loves the party. Unfortunately, the victory celebration is nowhere in the foreseeable future, but at least it's already paid for. The president admits things are a little rocky in Iraq right now.
I want to stop you for a second. Yeah. I've not heard that story reported anywhere else.
Really?
Is that something
story,
that you...
mainstream story today.
Is that something you heard on the intronet?
He made it up.
No. A number of newspapers are reporting today, a number of credible news outlets.
That's one of his propaganda things.
Reporting.
Made up the whole thing.
That's part of the... If you look at the fine print in the 2006 budget for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you'll find a clause setting aside $20 million... for a commemoration of success in those wars.
So we've got somewhere, we've got $20 million.
Right.
And sitting under somebody's mattress.
Kind of looks like we're not going to spend it in 06, so we're rolling it over to 07.
Getting
you know,
for the party.
Just in case.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
True story.
Expectations low.
President admits things are a little...
He's pretty dumb to me. I'm just the DJ, but it seems to me... All the things that need money in this uh-huh. country, right. You know, and right away I'll think about the Gulf region... You know, wouldn't it be nicer to build a school or a hospital than to wait to have a ticker tape parade for a war that we're not going to win?
Need that 20 mil for our VP, a victory party.
Yeah. Well, Robbie?
Not as much fun as we go to school. Party's better.
Cut the jibba jabba.
The president admits things are a little rocky in Iraq right now. In a recent speech, he called this rough patch just a comma.
Rockier than John Norman's kidney.
Many people weren't exactly sure what the president meant. I was one of them. Today, the analysis of that phrase is all over the mainstream media. Here are your top three possible explanations for President Bush's recent phrase that the Iraq War is just a comma. Some people who've lost people in Iraq saw the comparison of violence and punctuation as insensitive. Others began to read a religious meaning into it. They saw it as a reference to the Christian expression, never put a period where God has put a comma. They saw it as a coded message to the Bush political base among the religious right, a message to stay the course.
God is off for the period.
Well, he invented it, I believe.
He did.
The White House says just a comma meant the current record violence in Iraq is just a pause. On the road to democracy.
I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about punctuation period.
Right. I want you all to try this one on for size.
Okay.
Comma, 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 chameleon. Thank you again, Rob.
When the wanted posters start featuring topless women, then maybe you'll pay attention.
Ooh.
That's our story when we continue.
Oh, all right, Mr. Sex. And none of this made up, right? Right, Bubby?
Most all of it true.
You're all invited to the party.
What party?
The victory party.
All right, when's that?
After the comma.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
The radio equivalent of foul-smelling discharge. The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks again to our friend Charlie Cassidy from the NFL Today on CBS that airs Sunday morning at 12 noon, 9 o'clock on the East Coast and 9 o'clock on the West Coast. And also Frank Caliendo, who tonight has a killer appearance on Letterman where he plays John Madden.
Check it out.
And we talked to him right after he did it, and they said that specifically made Letterman laugh a lot.
I look forward to seeing that, especially his new wig.
We'll hear it, we'll hear it tomorrow on the show. And now, once again, here is Boobski.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Boobski.
Hi.
Little Boobski.
A half dozen sheriff's officers surrounded a house in Spokane, Washington. The neighbors heard one of them say, "Now, let's go inside and get some porn." They were after a guy making obscene phone calls to the co-eds at Whitworth College. They'd used the guy.
Hello?
That's him. They used his phone number to trace him to this address. They had a warrant. They busted in. The guy inside then watched them go through his wallet, his drawers, his computers, his videotapes. They turned the place inside out. Nothing. Wrong guy. Wrong house.
Oops.
Somebody at the cop shop transposed some digits in the phone number.
Nope.
And finally, as a plastic surgeon, if you get stiffed on a...
No!
When a plastic
surgeon...
When a plastic surgeon gets stiffed on a trio of boob jobs, they're out a lot of money. What many people make in a year. So a surgeon in Berlin went to the police about three women who, using phony IDs and credit cards, built them out of three breast augmentations.
They've started to blasphemy.
Three pair, actually. The only way he could identify them was to give police the photographs he'd taken of the women's naked enlarged breasts.
Hi.
As a cop, it's the sort of evidence you wait a lifetime for.
Dankeschön.
It's going to make a great wanted poster.
Thank you.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Nice. No surprise, but you are so... sexed up. You know, tomorrow it's your birthday sex show.
Yeah. Ah, sexy Buzz's birthday.
I was right at the beginning of the show. Don't forget, Mike is actually getting presents.
Yes, I am.
Yay. We gotta fly. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode, everybody. I'm so glad we're getting Sugar Ray in finally.
Finally,
finally.
Good job.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I don't know what this is doing on my desk. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you, a con cloud.
If anything good happens, I'll send you a text message. My ass smells like Febreze.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.